KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. We have a lot of news and a lot of different areas to get to today. Why don't we begin with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which has finally opened. This, of course, is the trial of the 17-year-old, at least he was 17-year-old at the time, young man who was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was there to help with medical care for people on the ground and also to prevent rioters from burning down businesses and burning cars and such. And the entire situation ended with 3 people shot and 2 people dead. Kyle Rittenhouse has been charged now with murder. There's one problem. There's no case against Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, there really is no case at all against Kyle Rittenhouse. They brought up a sort of minor gun charge. That one is a little more controversial, but the murder case just, it never existed. And the fact that this was ever brought to trial just demonstrates how political our judicial system sometimes is. It demonstrates that if a prosecutor gets it in their head that they must prosecute somebody regardless of the facts on the ground, they will do so even when the case just simply does not exist. And we know that the case against Rittenhouse doesn't exist because the prosecution yesterday brought forth a bunch of witnesses and they all promptly testified to Rittenhouse's self-defense case. And so Rittenhouse's argument is that he shot the people who were threatening him in self-defense. And the prosecution really, really struggled because it turns out that we knew from the very first day, right? As soon as the video footage emerged, we knew exactly what was going on in the Rittenhouse case, and it was that he had shot people in self-defense. So, for example, this entire incident, the timeline of the Kyle Rittenhouse incident, started when Rittenhouse essentially was chased down the street by some people who were threatening him, and a gunshot was fired in the air. He turned around, and there was a guy who was lunging for him, and so he shot the guy. Here is video. This is courtesy of ABC News. This is video from that night. This is the first shooting.
A man who police identified as Rittenhouse runs across the parking lot of an auto service shop, followed by a shirtless man who was later identified as Joseph Rosenbaum. Moments later, shots ring out.
Okay, now, you can stop it right there. You heard a shot before the narrator says, moments later, shots ring out. Okay, well, that first shot was actually not Rittenhouse. That was somebody who was chasing him, firing a shot into the air. Rittenhouse is running away, has no idea where the shot's coming from. Then it turns out that Rosenbaum, who also turns out was a career criminal, is chasing him down and is lunging for his gun. Okay, so that is shooting number one. Okay, so now we move on to shooting number two. Rittenhouse is now being chased down the street by a bunch of ne'er-do-wells, and they physically assault him. And there, one person comes at him with a gun, he shoots that guy in the arm. Another person tries to hit him in the face with a skateboard, he shoots him and kills him. Okay, here's that video. Again, this is all on video, guys. He falls down. You can see he raises the gun. There's somebody trying to hit him with the skateboard. He shoots the guy. And then there's a guy who approaches him. He has a pistol in his hand, right? The guy approaching him has a pistol in his hand. Okay, so, all of that is on video, right? Uncontroverted. It's on video. Pretty clearly and obviously a case of self-defense. The prosecution is trying to argue that Rittenhouse started the fight. That Rittenhouse essentially insulted a guy or tried to initiate conflict with Rosenbaum, who was originally chasing him. And the big problem is that it's pretty clear that's not what happened. And there's FBI infrared video. So it turns out the FBI has eyes on nearly everything happening in the United States, apparently. We never saw this video until now. And you can see from the video exactly how this went down. So you have person of interest one and person of interest two. Okay, and you see that they're having some sort of conversation between the cars. And then person of interest two starts running away, being chased by person of interest one. So what the prosecution is attempting to claim is that person of interest one, who is Rosenbaum, was confronted by Rittenhouse. But that's not what the testimony of the prosecution's own witnesses said. They said that it's precisely the opposite. So there's a witness named Ryan Balch, and he was called by the prosecution. This guy was not called by the defense. And Ryan Balch says in open testimony that Rosenbaum had said earlier that if he caught Rittenhouse alone, he would kill him. Yeah, that's not... The prosecutors called this guy. This is their case? The prosecutors? Here we go.
When I turned around, Rosenbaum was right there in front of my face, yelling and screaming. And I said, dude, back up. Just chill. I don't know what your problem is. And he goes, you know what? If I catch any of you guys alone tonight, I'm going to f***ing kill you.
And he said that to you?
Correct.
Did he say that to the defendant as well?
The defendant was there, so yes.
That's the prosecutor's witness. Whoops. That's not good. Now, again, this is all undercut. The entire prosecution case here was undercut by all the footage from the evening of. In fact, the prosecutors tried to bar testimony and bar actual video of Rittenhouse talking before any of this happened. Because there's video from Rittenhouse earlier in the night talking about why he was there in Kenosha, Wisconsin in the first place. This does not sound like a guy who went out to shoot some people in the middle of a riot.
So people are getting injured, and our job is to protect this business, and part of my job is also help people. If there's somebody hurt, I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my rifle, because I can protect myself, obviously. But I'm glad my men can.
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed by a person in the crowd.
So you had non-lethal, but you didn't respond.
We don't have non-lethal.
So you guys are full on ready to defend the property?
Yes, we are.
Hey,
now, if I can ask, can you guys step back? Hey. Medical, EMS right here. I'm an EMT.
Okay, so then the prosecution, and then he goes in this video, he's trying to help one of the rioters. Then the prosecution tries to bring a second witness. This is a guy named Richie McGinnis, who's a reporter for the Daily Caller, who you can see in the original video, who is following after Rittenhouse and Rosenbaum as they are running down the street. And after Rosenbaum is shot, you can see Richie McGinnis take off his shirt and try and provide some sort of medical care for Rosenbaum. And so the prosecutor tries to ask Richie McGinnis, so he was falling over Rosenbaum when he was shot, right? Like he tripped, and then he was wrongfully shot by Rittenhouse. And he was shot for no reason, because he was just falling over. And then Rittenhouse wanted to kill him, so he killed him, so it's not self-defense. And Richie McGinnis is like, well, no, actually, let me explain.
I kind of caught up to them. I was running a bit faster, and so at the time, initially, I was probably 30 feet back when everybody first started running, but then by the time I arrived in the lot, it was 15 feet.
And you continued to be behind Mr. Rosenbaum at the time that the defendant shot and killed him, correct?
I did alter my trajectory a little bit when I saw Mr. Rittenhouse turn around and saw Mr. Rosenbaum lunging for the front portion of the rifle.
Lunging for the front portion of the rifle. And the prosecutor tries to push him and tries to say, well, was he falling over? And the witness says, no, he said, F you, and reached for the weapon. Not great. Not great, Bob, for the prosecution. Now, the way the media are trying to portray this is as though it's just a sort of a conflict of visions. The Associated Press says jurors heard starkly different portrayals of Kyle Rittenhouse, instigator or victim, in opening statements at his trial on Tuesday on charges of shooting three people on the streets of Kenosha during a turbulent protest against racial injustice. A prosecutor said Rittenhouse set the bloodshed in motion when he triggered a confrontation with a man that night and then killed him with a bullet to the back. Rittenhouse's attorney told the jury his client acted in self-defense after the man tried to grab Rittenhouse's gun and others kicked the teen in the face and clubbed him in the head with a skateboard. And one of those stories is true, and one of those stories is not, and the prosecution's story is not true, and then they called a bunch of witnesses who ripped apart their own case. Given the fact that the prosecution case is just a complete crap show here, why exactly was it brought in the first place? And the answer is, because we live in a society where the media will not allow a case not to be brought so long as the purported victimizer is of the wrong political persuasion. Okay, there is no way that if this were a left-wing person who had shot a couple of Proud Boys in the streets and the video were available like this, that this prosecution is ever brought. It is just too weak a case. Politics, unfortunately, is now telescoped into individual cases of justice. We're no longer a country where individual cases are seen for what they are, judged on their fact patterns, judged on their merits. Instead, the outside politics of the players are telescoped into the proceedings. And that is exactly the wrong way to do this, right? Due process of law requires precisely the opposite. We saw this a lot with the Derek Chauvin trial in Minnesota. Regardless of what you think of Derek Chauvin's activities that day, and now the man has been convicted of murder, and regardless of what you think of the activities, there is still no evidence in the Derek Chauvin case that anything he did was motivated by racism. It didn't matter. It turned into a giant national referendum on whether police across the country were racist, despite the fact there was no evidence that Chauvin himself was racist or had done anything racist as opposed to just egregiously wrong in the confrontation with George Floyd. Now, everything is used as a stand-in for politics these days, and the Rittenhouse trial is just a perfect example of that. Because, again, the prosecution has so little a case that they are calling witnesses who are rebutting the prosecution case. And they can't stop it. If somehow Rittenhouse is convicted here on the basis of the evidence that's being presented, you can only chalk that up to politics, because there's literally no way to watch the testimony that's being given and not see that that's a self-defense case. And well, this goes to a broader issue in the American public mind, and that is institutional trust. So another major story that is undermining institutional trust these days is the case of Igor Danchenko. So now, according to the Washington Post, an analyst who was a primary source for a 2016 dossier of allegations against Donald Trump has been arrested on charges that he repeatedly lied to the FBI about where and how he got his information, officials said on Thursday. Igor Danchenko's role in providing information to British ex-spy Christopher Steele, who compiled the accusations about Trump in a series of reports, has long been a subject of scrutiny from internal Department of Justice investigators and special counsel John Durham, according to people familiar with the investigations. Steele presented that dossier to the FBI. It was part of the basis for secret surveillance court orders targeting former Trump advisor Carter Page, as the FBI investigated possible ties between the 2016 Trump presidential campaign and Russia. So you remember, the Steele dossier was used as the basis to target Carter Page. You remember that in January of 2017, before Trump's inauguration, or right after Trump's inauguration, James Comey approached Donald Trump and told him about the Steele dossier. And that mere telling him about the Steele dossier was used as the predicate for BuzzFeed, then breaking the dossier wide on its website without vetting any of the details. And this became the basis of the Trump-Russia investigation. Right, Trump had deep ties to Russia, and for four long years, all we heard was that Trump was a Russian plant. The Steele dossier was still being trotted out as possibly true as late as like a few weeks ago. ABC News' George Stephanopoulos sat down with Christopher Steele, and Steele was maintaining that much of the data in there was still probably true. Well, it turns out that since 2017, like since the beginning of the saga, since the early days of 2017, the FBI knew that the key source for the Steele dossier was lying to them. They didn't know that in 2018, not 2019. In 2017, no prosecution, no attempts to quash, no public statements about why the Steele dossier was a load of crap. None of that. They just kept investigating, right? The Mueller investigation just kept going. A 2019 report by the Justice Department Inspector General found major problems with the accuracy of Danchenko's information. But the 39-page indictment unveiled on Thursday paints a more detailed picture of claims that were allegedly built on exaggerations, rumors, and outright lies. The indictment is likely to buttress Republican charges that Democrats and FBI agents intentionally or accidentally turned cheap partisan smears into a high-stakes national security investigation of a sitting president. It doesn't just buttress it, it proves it. And the Democrats laundered a bunch of dirty, probably Russian-provided misinformation through the FBI and then into the media and then back into law enforcement hands, where it was used as the basis for large swaths of the Mueller investigation. The indictment suggests Danchenko may have lied to Christopher Steele and others about where he was getting his information. Some of the material came from a Democratic Party operative with long-standing ties to Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, according to the charges, rather than even a well-connected Russian with insight into the Kremlin. So it turns out that some of the information wasn't even coming from Russia. It was coming from inside the House, from somebody who's just working with Hillary Clinton. The Washington Post admits the allegations cast new uncertainty on some past reporting on the dossier by news organizations, including the Washington Post. Well, it's too late. Everybody won their Pulitzers, and Donald Trump is no longer president, so victory achieved, gang. Danchenko appeared briefly Thursday in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, where his lawyer tried to enter a plea of not guilty on his behalf for five counts of making false statements. The judge didn't accept the plea because the hearing was not an arraignment, and Danchenko was released. Alrighty, coming up, Andy McCarthy breaks down what the Danchenko indictment means. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Mm-hmm. North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
The United States Marine Corps cordially invites you to celebrate the 246th birthday of our Corps, November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Event will take 30 minutes and include the presentation of colors, national anthem, recognizing the oldest and youngest Marines, and more. Birthday cake will be served at the conclusion of the ceremony. That's November 10th at noon at the Veterans Grove in front of the Civic Auditorium. Semper Fi.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Igor Danchenko was the key source for the Steele dossier, has now been indicted for lying to the FBI. Here's the thing. The FBI knew he was lying since 2017. Andy McCarthy has a great piece of the New York Post breaking down what that means. He says Danchenko has been charged with 5 counts of lying to the FBI in interviews during 2017, as the Bureau struggled in futility to verify outlandish allegations that Donald Trump and his campaign were clandestine agents of the Kremlin. Those allegations were compiled in the so-called Steele dossier, which the FBI relied on in obtaining surveillance warrants from a secret federal court. The dossier was generated by the Clinton campaign. Its principal author was former British spy Christopher Steele. Steele's main source was Danchenko, a Russian native based in the United States who worked at the Brookings Institute, a Washington think tank whose former president, Strobe Talbot, is a college friend of Bill Clinton's who worked in the Clinton State Department. At Brookings, Danchenko worked with Fiona Hill, later a member of Trump's National Security Council and key witness in the first Trump impeachment over the unrelated Ukraine controversy. It was through Hill that Danchenko became acquainted with Steele, who ran a London-based intelligence firm. Durham's indictment alleges that Danchenko lied about two major points. First, he fabricated the claim that the president of the Russian-American Chamber of Commerce informed him that, during the 2016 presidential campaign, Trump was involved in a well-developed conspiracy of cooperation with Putin. In reality, that conversation never happened. The chamber president is not identified by name in the indictment. After the Steele dossier became public, however, there's intense speculation that the chamber's founder, Sergey Milian, was a Steele dossier source. As I recounted in my book on Russiagate, says Andy McCarthy, Milian denied being a source, trashed the dossier as fake news created by sick minds. Danchenko is also alleged to have concealed that one of his sources for the information he was giving to Steele was a longtime Dem party operative who was close to the Clintons. having worked on both of Bill Clinton's successful presidential campaigns and Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign. That source was revealed on Thursday to be Chuck Dolan, a public relations executive who had Russian contacts referred to as PR Executive 1 in the indictment. The FBI interviewed Danchenko because it was desperately trying to corroborate the Steele dossier claims. One question Durham must be pressing is, what took the Bureau so long? The Obama DOJ brought the FBI's sworn claims to the secret federal Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court in October 2016. The FBI is supposed to verify the allegations before going to court, but it didn't interview Danchenko, who was the main source, until January 2017. It was already obtaining its second 90-day spy warrants on Carter Page by that point. It appears that Durham theorizes the Trump-Russia collusion narrative was a political attack manufactured by the Clinton campaign. Relying on Danchenko, Steele compiled the reports for Glenn Simpson, co-founder of an intelligence firm, Fusion GPS, which specializes in digging up political dirt. Fusion GPS was retained by Perkins Coie, the Clinton campaign's law firm. In September, Durham indicted former Perkins Coie Michael Sussman for making a false statement to the FBI while peddling Trump-Russia allegations the Bureau eventually found to be unsubstantiated. Durham, his charging instruments suggest the Clinton campaign used its agents to peddle the Trump-Russia rumors to the government and the media, and used the fact Trump was being investigated as part of the campaign messaging. So in other words, if you are talking about Russian interference in the election, it's really Democratic interference in the election by suggesting that a chief issue in the election is whether Trump was a Russian cat's paw, which, as you'll recall, was trotted out by the Clinton team throughout the election cycle. It turns out that the Russian probe, very likely, was just a piece of FBI manipulation by the Democratic Party, and then the FBI had to cover its own ass, and so refused to actually investigate all of the people thoroughly who had given it the information in the first place until now. It's unbelievable. Eli Lake writes for Bloomberg, it's been clear for 2 years that Steele's dossier was garbage. That's mainly thanks to the work of Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz, who released a report in 2019 skewering the FBI. Durham's investigation has taken a different approach. His last two indictments suggest the FBI was not a villain but a victim, conned by Democratic operatives to pursue bogus investigations into the Trump campaign. Danchenko is charged with hiding his relationship to a prominent Democrat in interviews with the FBI about the dossier. Of course, that is Charles Dolan, as we were discussing. The real victim of these Democratic Party deceptions was not the FBI, however, says Eli Lake, but the American public. That's why Durham's investigation now in its third year remains not only relevant, but vital. It is an incredible thing. So what we have here, if we've got this right, what we have here is that the Steele dossier, which was used as the basis for the FBI opening an investigation into Donald Trump's campaign, which ended up splashed across the front pages of every major newspaper in 2016, and then after the election ended up being the basis of the Mueller investigation, which dogged Trump for 4 years, and in frustration at which Trump started making bizarre phone calls and getting himself in all sorts of legal hot water. It turns out that all of that was because the media and the FBI decided to work along with the Democrats in order to take Trump down. Right? That's all that we're seeing here. And it took years for any of these prosecutions to take place. The FBI, it's amazing. The FBI knew Danchenko was lying in 2017. The calendar now says, according to my calculations, that it is 2021. What was the FBI doing all of this time? Institutional trust with the FBI has been broken for quite a while. It should be broken even further. These institutions, they are motivated by politics. Politics have infused them. When Donald Trump talked about the so-called deep state, people took that to mean that there was an active conspiracy of people working inside these departments. Sometimes that may be true. Right? There are a lot of these people who are working together, obviously. If you're looking at, for example, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, if you're looking at that coupling, right, those people clearly had similar priorities. But in reality, all this means is that there is a feedback loop of people who share the same political echo chamber. And you can apparently retail any piece of garbage to the FBI. And so long as it is coming from a Democratic source, they won't even check into the sources of the original dossier. They won't even check into it. And then they will launder it. This is what James Comey did. They will launder it through the press to the public and help to destroy the presidency of a sitting president of the United States. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Listen, I was loath to believe a lot of the early charges. There are some people who are on this way earlier than I was. That is for damn sure. That's because I have a certain level of baseline American trust in these institutions. That trust has been deeply shaken. If it hasn't been shaken for you, it's because you're not watching this closely enough. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden's authoritarian OSHA crackdown is about to begin. We are fighting it here at Daily Wire. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Greetings to my fellow veterans. This is Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. I'm a Korean vet, and it is my honor to serve in the U.S. Army as a new immigrant to this great country. Thank you for your service. It will not be forgotten. It should be remembered that freedom is not free. It has been secured by brave sacrifice that all members of our military and their families have given since the beginning of a great, wonderful nation. Thank you for your service.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. and thank you for your support.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden has pledged that he is basically going to destroy any business that does not force its workers to vaccinate. The Biden administration, never at a loss for authoritarian crackdowns, they've released, as we mentioned yesterday at length, this OSHA vaccine mandate. It kicks into place on January 4th formally. There's some speculation that the reason the Biden administration is doing this is because they don't want it legally challenged. We at the Daily Wire have said we will not comply with this. We are not going to force our employees to get vaccinated. This is so anti-science, it is stupid all the way through. If you are vaccinated, you are good to go. If you are unvaccinated, you have chosen to be that way. And now, by the way, Pfizer is about to come on market with a pill that, after COVID diagnosis, lowers your rate of death and hospitalization by 90%. So if we weren't already done then, we are done now. We have been done for months, by the way. And if you're in a southern state, you know this. If you're in an uptight northern state, a northeastern state, where they're still suggesting that you can be quadruple vax and still be subject to the predations of COVID-19, even if you're not immunocompromised, then it's still going on for you. But if you're down here in Florida, it's pretty much done, and it's been done for quite a while because we're not crazy down here. Okay, well, the Biden administration is crazy. And now they are saying that every employer of more than 100 people in the United States must force their employees to vax or test weekly and wear a mask indefinitely, presumably forever. And if you refuse to do this, an unwillful violation costs you $14,000. A willful violation, if you just say, no, I'm not doing that, it's not my business whether my employees are vaxxed at this point because everybody's had the opportunity to get vaxxed. If you say that, they will send an OSHA agent to your place of work, and then they will attempt to fine you up to $140,000 per violation. They're aiming at small business. They're attempting to bankrupt companies they don't like. And by the way, I promise you that because we are filing a lawsuit, first day that this thing goes formally into effect in January, there will be an OSHA inspector at our door. I'm sure that is the case. Again, one of the reasons that they're delaying it is because what they're hoping is that if we file a lawsuit, a court will say it's not ripe because there's been no harm yet. And you can't adjudicate it yet because there's been no harm. We filed for a preliminary injunction against this. Many states are doing the same. Hey, we need your help with that, by the way. Head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe. Use code DONOTCOMPLY to subscribe. That does help us out because us fighting on behalf of our employees and getting this law struck down on behalf of all Americans, this regulation that is unconstitutional and, by the way, illegal, on behalf of all Americans, that's in all of our interest. You can help us out by subscribing. We really appreciate it. We need your help with that. But the goal of the Biden administration, I don't even think it's for this thing to take effect. I think this is all bullcrap. I think that their goal here is essentially to pretend that they've done all they can do, get this thing struck down, and then move on with their lives. Sort of like their CDC eviction moratorium. You remember that Joe Biden said he didn't have the constitutional power to issue a further eviction moratorium because the Supreme Court had said he didn't. And then he did it anyway. And the reason he did it, knowing the Supreme Court was going to stay that particular order, is because he wanted to be able to say to his people, I did all I could.
I did all I could.
That's what he wanted to say. Well, I feel like this is very much the same thing. See, Joe Biden has put himself in a box. The box is he said he could end COVID. He cannot end COVID. The only thing that Joe Biden could do is leave us alone. But he doesn't want to leave us alone because he requires COVID in order to ram through these giant spending bills in order to maintain control. And so now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. The longer COVID goes on, the worse it is for the economy. The more these crackdowns go on, the worse it is for the economy. And as long as people are dying, COVID is not over from the perspective of Democrats. So long as infections are happening, even if they're happening because you chose not to get vaccinated, Democrats can't just say, well, you know, you made your decision and now it's on you. Instead, they have to say, no, we said we were going to fix it. Okay, so Joe Biden is kind of stuck. What that means is he needs someone else to blame. So he's going to put this regulation out there. We're going to get it struck down. I have very little fear about that, really. And when that happens, he's going to throw up his hands and he's going to say, we did the best that we could. And by the way, it's not, they're all hypocrites anyway. They really are. I mean, the number of Democrats who are vaccinated but unmasking in public places when they've been told by the CDC not to, it's astonishing, right? The rules don't apply to the special people. I mean, Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, was asked yesterday how many CDC employees of the CDC were vaccinated, and she said she had no idea.
What percent of CDC employees are vaccinated?
We're actively encouraging vaccination in all of our employees and doing a lot of education and outreach in order to get our agency fully vaccinated.
But the percent?
I don't have that for you today.
So, yeah, of course she doesn't have that. By the way, I've noticed that the OSHA vax requirements, the federal government isn't trying to attach, for example, strings to federal aid. So if you are a person who receives food stamps or welfare via the federal government, I'm noticing that they're not forcing you to vax. Interesting how that works. Only employers. They're trying to turn employers into essentially the policemen of the state, which is a complete violation of both private property and state sovereignty, because this is not a federal issue. This is a state issue. There's nothing in the Interstate Commerce Clause that gives OSHA the power to override the basic health powers of the states. The OSHA? Come on. There's nothing in the OSHA regulations that says that they can regulate literally until the end of time how you do your work at your business based on a virus that is not going to kill you if you are vaccinated by all statistics. Hey, and by the way, again, everyone's had the opportunity to get vaccinated. Joe Biden used to acknowledge he didn't have the power to do this. Now he just does it because he's an authoritarian. According to the Wall Street Journal, employers have until January 4th, 2020 to ensure their employees are vaccinated. After that date, employers have to verify that unvaccinated employees test negative for COVID-19 at least once a week. Employers need to show they are fully vaccinated, meaning they either receive two doses of Pfizer or Moderna or one Johnson & Johnson shot. Acceptable documents include a record of immunization from a health provider or pharmacy, a copy of a COVID-19 vaccination card, medical records, etc., etc. The agency plans to inspect some workplaces. A former OSHA official said the agency will likely not rely primarily on in-person inspections, but on company record keeping and worker reports of potential violations. Businesses that don't comply can face fines, as we say, of up to $14,000, and that is if there's a mistake. If you are found to be unwilling, it can be up to $140,000. What will happen to unvaccinated workers who object to getting vaccinated or tested? It's possible employers would fire them. Some workers may choose to quit. About 40% of workers who are unvaccinated say they will leave their jobs rather than do this sort of stuff. And so the entire OSHA rule here is being promulgated in idiotic fashion. It is not designed to be upheld, but it's going to have some pretty significant downstream effects. This is why I don't think that it's actually ever going to be implemented. I think what it's going to be done, what's going to happen here, is that it's going to be used as an excuse by big businesses to say that they have to do it. And then Biden is just going to lose his court case, and that's going to be the end of it. Because here's the problem for Democrats. If this thing actually goes into effect, it's going to absolutely cripple the economy. And it's just going to be horrible for the economy. For example, truckers are not exempted from this. Okay, truckers are not exempted from these regulations. If you lose 20% of truckers, you think you got supply chain problems right now? Just wait. The White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, she says, don't worry, the vax mandate isn't going to affect the supply chain. Yeah, you're just forcing people to fire their employees. That's not going to affect the supply chain at all.
If you're asking, like, if we think the rules impact supply chain, the answer is no. We don't think that it will. First of all, vaccine requirements work. We have talked about that. We've given examples. Like, earlier adopters have seen strong compliance, 99% at United Airlines, 99% at Houston Methodist, 99.5% at Rutgers University. Recently, Tyson's Food announced that 96% of its workers got vaccinated ahead of its deadline. So the emergency temporary standard is an even playing field across all employers with 100 or more workers.
Okay. One of the reasons, by the way, these percentages are so high is because when you fire everyone or force them to quit, if they're not vaccinated, your percentages go up. Amazing how that works. When somebody's no longer an employee, they don't get counted in your percentage. Governors or attorneys general from more than a dozen states have begun filing legal challenges already. This includes the Iowa governor, who vowed immediate legal action on Thursday. Kristi Noem in South Dakota, she says that they're joining a lawsuit as well.
Today I'm announcing to you that we are joining several other states in filing litigation against this unconstitutional mandate. We will be taking actions to ensure that the federal government remembers that the Constitution does not give them the authority to take this type of action, and that people have freedoms and they have personal responsibility over their health, and that here in South Dakota that will be protected and defended.
Okay, now, here's the thing. This is all going to kick in January. Okay, we now have this Pfizer pill, which it's apparently just an oral pill you take after you get diagnosed, and it takes your hospitalization and death rate down 90%. It was already down 90% if you took the vaccine. So if you do that, and then you get a breakthrough, and then you take the pill, then basically you're immortal, I think, is the way that the math works there. And even if you don't take the vaccine, we now have a therapeutic that is effectively as effective as the vaccine, because the vaccines are about 90% effective against hospitalization and death. Pfizer says you can now take a pill And that is just as effective as a vaccine in terms of preventing hospitalization and death. So what in the world are they doing here? Again, it is not about stopping the COVID pandemic. It is simply about control. It's simply about control. And the backlash is coming, man. Already coming up. The blowback against the Biden administration is very, very strong. Many Americans joining the Let's Go Brandon bandwagon. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the blowback against Joe Biden, his policies, his administration is very strong. Democrats know it. So honestly, the best story of election night was not even what happened in Virginia. It was the fact that a truck driver defeated the New Jersey state Senate leader. Like, that is hysterical. It was a truck driver named Ed Durr. He spent, I kid you not, about $153 on his campaign. $153 on his campaign. $66.64 of that went to Dunkin' Donuts. That's a campaign, my friends. Yes. $153 spent on the campaign. $66 to Dunkin' Donuts. And he defeated one of the most powerful people in New Jersey, the state Senate president, Stephen Sweeney. He beat him by about 2,000 votes. And so it turns out that the reason that the guy ran for office in the first place is he was denied a concealed carry permit in a may carry jurisdiction. Right, meaning that if the government allows you, you may carry, and then he was denied a permit, which is perverse. I mean, I lived in a may carry jurisdiction in Los Angeles, and basically, unless you knew somebody, you weren't getting a concealed carry permit. So it's a ridiculous law. New Jersey has those kind of laws. He got rejected, so he ran for office. And here is what he said about what he plans to do.
Ed, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to the Capitol in Trenton?
I really don't know. That's the key factor. I don't know what I don't know, so I will learn what I need to know. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I will be the voice and people will hear me. Because if there's one thing people will learn about me, I got a big mouth and I don't shut up. When I want to be heard, I'm going to be heard.
Yeah, so honestly, I wish more of our legislators had this feeling. What's the first thing you're going to do? I have no idea because I don't know what is going to confront me when I get to this place. Like, it's not bad that regular people are part of our legislature. In fact, I think that most of the experts in our legislature suck at their jobs. Okay, so meanwhile, the Democrats, who just took a shellacking earlier this week, just a brutal shellacking. Everybody knows that leading up to 2022, their prospects are really, really poor. So what are they doing? They're doubling down on the idea that all Republicans are racist. We got this, it's sort of a microcosm of what happened right after Trump won. So right after Trump won, there was a brief moment in time where Democrats in the media were like, who are these Trump voters? Maybe we should go and talk to them. And then after about 32 seconds, they said, oh, they're a bunch of racists. We don't need to talk to them. It's about Russian racism, of course. Well, they just skipped right over that 32 seconds of self-reflection over at the White House and then went right to, yeah, everybody's a racist. It's because the Republicans are racist. So here is Karine Jean-Pierre talking about Karine Jean-Pierre, the Deputy White House Press Secretary, talking about how Republicans only won in Virginia because they lied about critical race theory. Good luck with this one.
Republicans are lying. They're not being honest. They're not being truthful about where we stand. And they're cynically trying to use our kids as a political football. They're talking about our kids when it's election season, but they won't vote for them when it matters. You know, Republicans did not vote for the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan, in that plan, it had funding to make sure that schools were open, to make sure that our kids got back to school.
This is a joke. It's ridiculous. One of my favorite things Democrats are saying right now, it's actually a headline over at the Huffington Post right now, and I want to read it verbatim because it really speaks to what Democrats believe about how politics are supposed to work. Quote, Republicans want parents to be angry. Democrats are trying to give them money. That's what Democrats think about politics, that all parents want is just to be handed money by the government. That's all they want. They don't want control over their kids' lives. They don't want control over their kids' education. They just want to sit down and shut up and be paid off. Good luck with that message. It turns out that most parents are concerned mainly with raising their children. And if there are strings attached to the cash, or we're supposed to sit by and let crappy school boards decide what our kids learn in schools about racial essentialism, the answer is no. So Democrats, instead of saying maybe we should move away from this critical race theory nonsense, instead they're doubling down. They're saying they're lying about critical race theory. It doesn't exist. It's a bugaboo. Simultaneously, they're saying it's super important and your kids have to be taught it. You can see this conflict between, for example, Stephen Colbert and Michael Eric Dyson. So here was Stephen Colbert last night mimicking the White House, saying that CRT doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination.
Claims about what's being taught in history classes have become the latest racist dog whistle. For instance, on Monday, Youngkin made this promise.
Let me be clear, on day one, we will not have political agendas in the classroom, and I will ban critical race theory.
Here's the thing. Critical race theory is not taught at the K through 12 level in Virginia. Wow, that was fast. Promises made, promises kept.
It doesn't exist. Okay, obviously this is a semantic game that people on the left like to play. So what they do is they say critical race theory, really, it doesn't exist, critical race theory. It's just that when you dumb it down and you turn it into Ibram X. Kendi racial essentialism about how privilege exists in all the institutions of American life and white kids should know that they benefit from that privilege and black kids are inherently victims, that does make it into the classroom. It makes it into the classroom all the time. So they'll simultaneously say CRT doesn't exist. And then they will say that CRT is deeply vital to teach to kids. So here's Michael Eric Dyson yesterday saying we have to make kids uncomfortable. We must make kids uncomfortable.
We got to face some uncomfortable truths. And the white comfort cannot be the predicate for making sure that race is not a strategy that shouldn't be used. Discomfort is a critical tool to make people learn.
Yeah.
When I go to class, I'm talking about my white students, my black students, my Latino students, my Asian students across the board. I am trying to make you uncomfortable enough with the ignorance that you've inherited so that you can begin to engage in some serious thinking about the way the world works.
We have to make kids uncomfortable. Okay, what he means by that, Michael Eric Dyson, is pretty clear, because Michael Eric Dyson is a proponent of Ibram X. Kendi-style anti-racism, which is an offshoot of critical race theory. I mean, this is the same guy who's telling you that he wants to teach your kids is also saying that the brand new black lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia is actually secretly white. She's secretly white. So he wants to teach racial essentialism to your kids. That's who this is. This is the person saying that he wants to teach your kids to feel uncomfortable. What kind of stuff do you think he's teaching? Why don't we ask him? Here's Michael Eric Tyson.
The problem is here, they want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect. There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea through the running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices. We know that we can internalize in our own minds, in our own subconscious, and in our own bodies, the very principles that are undoing us. So to have a black face speaking in behalf of a white supremacist legacy is nothing new.
Don't worry, they're not teaching critical race theory. They just have to make their kids uncomfortable. Also, critical race theory doesn't exist. And if you oppose it, too bad, we want to give you money. And Republicans are bad. Good job, guys. It's going to be a winning message. I can see how this is going to work out real well for you. The other winning message Democrats are pushing, of course, is what if we spend more money? Now, there are a few problems with this. Number one, Americans are not clamoring for more government spending at this point. Build Back Better is not popular. Even the bipartisan infrastructure plan, it might be sort of like, okay, but it's not blowing the doors off. Nobody's clamoring for the bipartisan infrastructure plan to pass at this point. CNN did a report. But the disconnect is that if you complain about inflation, then this means that you are out of touch with the people. So this is kind of an incredible story. So yesterday, Brianna Keeler over at CNN, she did a report about a family. Okay, this family is a family of 11. They have 9 kids. They're feeding 9 kids. 7 of those kids are adopted or fostered. Okay, so honestly, these people sound like saints. I mean, to adopt or foster 7 kids and you have 2 of your own, pretty incredible behavior. Okay, so Brianna Keeler does a report on them, and she talks about how inflation is really taking a chunk out of their pocketbook. Here's what the report said.
We have 2 biological kids, and then my wife and I have a big heart for adoption, so we adopted a sibling group of 2, then 3, then 1, and then we have a kid living with us right now who's kind of in a foster situation.
It feels like money isn't going as far as it used to.
Okay, let's see what we can do. I think probably in June, it was about $1 worth a dollar. So now that dollar is worth about 70 cents. All right, now we're moving on to dairy, which is right there. We started seeing everything going up. Grocery prices went up. Gallon of milk was $1.99. Now it's $2.79. Well, when you buy 12 gallons a week times 4 weeks, you know, that's a lot of money.
Okay, and what did this prompt? Did this prompt anybody on the left side of the aisle, the blue checks on Twitter, to say, actually, that sounds pretty damaging, right? I mean, she's right. No, instead, you got Jamel Bowie, a man who's in touch with the people. He tweeted out, I'm sorry, 12 gallons of milk? Well, yes, I mean, there are 11 people in the house, including 9 kids, many of whom apparently are teenagers. He says, like, if every member of a family of 6 had 1 8-ounce glass of milk for every meal on every day of the week, you'd still only need about 8 gallons of milk a week. They have 12 people in the house. He says, fair enough. Even then, this is an exceptional family. Not sure they should be used as emblematic. Well done there, Jamel Bowie. Just massive self-own right there. And Jonathan Chait does the same thing. Blue check. 12 gallons of milk a week may sound like a lot, but they've actually had to cut out their milk baths on alternate days. They're not taking milk baths. Like, I love this. So just sneer at people who are hurting at the checkout counter. Just sneer at them. Because who needs 12 gallons of milk a week? Now, again, basic math suggests they need 12 gallons of milk a week, right? I have 3 kids. We certainly go through at least 3 gallons of milk a week, and these are little kids. Okay, so the notion that a bunch of teenagers, like a family of 11, they're not going to go through 12 gallons of milk a week is crazy. But then you got the whole blue check marks going, milk doesn't even cost $1.99 anywhere. Okay, well, in certain parts of the country, it used to. Like it did. But they are all George. Remember they said in 1992 that George H.W. Bush didn't know how to use one of those checkout guns at the checkout counter, and they mocked him for it. He didn't know how they worked, and it really wasn't true. These people are that. They actually are that. They don't. They're all the old lady from Arrested Development. What does a banana cost? Like $7? Like that's what they are. And then they're telling you how they're going to fix the economy. Good luck with this, guys. I mean, this is what you really want to run on, but apparently they do. Our elites are just morons. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. House Democrats put off an expected House vote on their 10-year, $1.85 trillion social and environment measure. The decision Friday came as infighting between progressives and moderates once again sidetracked the legislation. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says some House members want to see numbers from the Congressional Budget Office before voting on the social services bill.
It should take another week or so to get the numbers that they're requesting. That's how long it takes. And as we do, then we'll have a Thanksgiving gift for the American people.
But House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says voters sent Democrats a clear message on Tuesday.
Stop catering to the progressive left and work on solutions that will improve the lives of your constituents.
Correspondent Rita Foley reports on what we know about the number of intelligence officers who have refused to get vaccinated.
The Office of the Director of National Intelligence isn't saying how many members of the intelligence community are not vaccinated. A Republican member of the House Intelligence Committee, Congressman Chris Stewart, says the number is as high as 40% in some agencies. The deadline to get the shots or face possible dismissal is November 22nd.
The shooting of two suspected drug dealers at a resort on Mexico's Caribbean coast is part of a fight among dozens of gangs to carve up the lucrative market of selling drugs to tourists and locals. The chief prosecutor of the coastal state of Quintana Roo said the two main gangs are fighting for control of Puerto Morelos, just south of Cancun. Thursday's shooting occurred on a beach just yards from luxury hotels. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 203 points. The NASDAQ rose 31. More at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The trial of three white men accused in the slaying of Ahmaud Arbery has begun in Brunswick, Georgia. There's only one black juror in the case. The three armed men armed themselves and pursued Arbery in a pickup truck, with one of them recording video of the fatal shooting. Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley tells Court TV he does not have the power to change the jury panel, even though because of the exclusion of potential black jurors from the defense team, it's now a mainly white panel.
Quite a few African-American jurors were excused through peremptory strikes exercised by the defense. But that doesn't mean that the court has the authority to reseat simply, again, because there's this prima facie case, because we see it.
A truck driver who ousted the powerful New Jersey Senate president in the election apologized for social media posts. More at townhall.com. The possibility of a post-Brexit trade war is getting closer as both the United Kingdom and European Union remain at a standoff.
The tension between the two sides was aggravated after the UK rejected EU proposals to streamline the trade of goods in Northern Ireland. Before the talks, Britain's Brexit Minister David Frost said they were hopeful the EU would address their concerns on Northern Ireland when negotiating.
There's a significant gap between us. If that gap narrows and the Commission listen to what we have said in the command paper and look at the situation in Northern Ireland, then maybe that will help us move things forward.
However, the UK government said the latest proposals did not address what they call fundamental difficulties. In addition to the Northern Ireland question, both sides also made no progress in negotiations over symbolically important UK fishing licenses off France. Talks will now continue in London next week. Karen Chamas, London.
More at townhall.com.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Redding. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
California Care Force 2021 is offering free dental, vision, and medical care for underserved and underinsured individuals and families in Butte and surrounding counties November 12th through the 14th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. More than 350 volunteer healthcare professionals from throughout California will be there to assist you. All services are free, and clinic participants do not need proof of insurance, employment, income, residency, immigration status, or an ID to receive benefits.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. So, the people who control your life, who control all of the institutions, they are off their rockers. And they are clearly crazy at this point. They're elitists who have been indoctrinated in a certain school of wokeness. And it is peculiarly obvious that they are just separated and disconnected from the rest of the American population. This makes for a pretty ugly future for the country. So Microsoft had a product presentation yesterday, and some of the video emerged. I don't want these people anywhere near me or my kids. Okay, all of your intellectual betters, all the people who run the world, who design the products that you use, who want to run your political life, these people have been indoctrinated in woke tropes, and then they're cramming them down on you, and they sound like idiots. They sound like morons. And if I were going to have somebody babysit my kids, it would certainly be the couple that adopted the 9 and has to buy 12 gallons of milk a week, and not the people who are acting as project managers for these particular sections at Microsoft. And I will show you why. So a couple of clips from this Microsoft session. And again, it shows you who the elites are in our society. They are completely out of touch with everyday Americans. Completely out of touch with everyday Americans. So here is a Microsoft project manager introducing herself to all the people who are interested in learning about what Microsoft is doing, their new products. Okay, here we go.
My name is Allison Wines. I'm a senior program manager in our developer tools division. I'm an Asian and white female with dark brown hair wearing a red sleeveless top.
Okay, and it continued along these lines. Here are a couple of marketing managers introducing themselves.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kelly Godilla. I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her. I'm a product marketing lead here at Microsoft and co-host of the podcast Security Unlocked with this guy.
Yes, that would be me. Hello, everyone. I'm Nick Fillingham. I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft.
I go by he, him, and she, her. Okay, so apparently the reason they were describing their races is for the blind people, really, for the visually impaired in the audience. So I have a question. You're literally saying to the literally colorblind that color matters. This is your pitch. Your pitch is that people who are literally incapable physically of seeing color must be told what your race is. Why? Exactly? Unclear. Also, we can't just assume from your voice whether you're a she, her, or a he, him. Instead, you have to name it. That, honestly, that wasn't even the worst part of this. That Allison Wines lady, she actually began her little riff by explaining that Microsoft's headquarters sat on stolen Native American land. I kid you not.
First, we want to acknowledge that the land where the Microsoft campus is situated was traditionally occupied by the Sammamish, the Duwamish, the Snoqualmie, the Suquamish, the Muckleshoot, the Snohomish, the Tulalip, and other Coast Salish peoples since time immemorial.
So if Microsoft wants to, they could just surrender their headquarters to the local tribe. They could do that. They could just give the building over. It's worth a lot of money. And it seems like they're sitting on stolen land from what I've been told. Okay, so these woke idiots are the people who run our society. They are the elites who believe they should control every institutional area of American life. And the predictable outcome of this is that even when the people speak up, they will just ignore them. This holds true in the Democratic halls of power. So Nancy Pelosi right now, as we speak, is attempting to ram through a Build Back Better plan that they ran out the bill like late last night. It's 2,000 pages. No one has read this thing. They're trying to run this out, despite the fact that the American people, again, are not clamoring for it, and the Democrats just took a massive fist to the jaw, electorally speaking. And what's her excuse for doing this? Her excuse is, well, I haven't seen the election analysis.
I don't know.
Do you think Democrats were penalized for having not gotten these things done?
I haven't seen that and all of the analysis, and I know from my own experience that, as I've said to you before, the plural of anecdote is not data. Let's see what the data is as it comes out.
Oh, she doesn't know the data. I'm pretty sure that she knows the data. She just doesn't care because she has to ram this through. Now, the problem for her, of course, is that the politics don't actually favor ramming it through. It looks as though the Democratic Party is split almost irrevocably at this point between the Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema wing of the party and the AOC wing of the party. Now, AOC's takeaway yesterday from the Virginia loss, by the way, is that they weren't progressive enough in Virginia, which is a hell of a takeaway considering that the candidate she endorsed in Buffalo, India Walton, was the only Democrat actually on the ballot and proceeded to lose by 20 points to a write-in candidate. So, yeah, clearly Americans are desperate for more progressivism. But Democrats keep hunting for the votes. They keep trying to cram this thing through. What's amazing about this, by the way, is that basically it is kind of incredible that the progressives are caving this way, truly. So what the progressive plan was we are going to hold up infrastructure until Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema sign off on Build Back Better. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are not signing on to anything that the House is going to pass today. It's not happening. And they have no interest in passing this thing. The actual number on the bill is not $1.85 trillion. It is more like $4 trillion, according to Wharton Business School. And so they're not signing on to it. And the House Democrats know this in the Progressive Caucus. So they could hold up infrastructure, or they could just vote for infrastructure and surrender. It looks like they're about to do the latter. Nancy Pelosi, for her part, she keeps saying that Build Back Better is not going to increase inflation. Weird, because I think that it probably is.
The other piece was about inflation, and we had the experts' opinions, and in fact, very recent today from Moody's that the bill was paid, since it is paid for, it would not increase inflation. And in fact, it would add to our economy because of child care enabling many more women to fully participate.
Oh, so it's gonna be better. It's gonna be better. So again, they took a hit right to the jaw, and they keep trucking because they know better than you. They know more than you, and that's all that matters because they are the specials, and you're not one of the specials. They are the specials. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. You need life insurance. Yes, you. I'm talking about you. You need life insurance because, let's just face it, there's a good shot that at some point you will die. That means that you need life insurance. Go to PolicyGenius.com to make it happen. PolicyGenius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? It could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with PolicyGenius. It could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using PolicyGenius to compare policies. The licensed experts at PolicyGenius work for you, not the insurance companies, so you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. That kind of service has earned PolicyGenius thousands of five-star reviews across Trustpilot and Google. And eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week, thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps the standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. Getting started is easy. Go to PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes. PolicyGenius handles the rest. Head over to PolicyGenius.com right now to get started. PolicyGenius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. According to Politico's playbook, Democratic leaders are still facing resistance from centrists who have raised procedural concerns, such as a lack of cost analysis with the push for a vote on the sprawling social policy package this week. Pelosi circulated a letter Thursday night that included budgetary details from White House staff. Several Democrats say they want the details from Congress's independent scorekeepers, not a partisan one. Now, Democrats are going to try and ram this thing through today. One of the problems, of course, is that the caucus goes on vacation next week. Members of the caucus are set to embark on overseas trips ahead of next week's recess, so they're hitting a deadline. But party leaders failed to corral the votes they needed on Thursday, so it's going to be interesting to see how they accomplish ramming this thing through, if they can even do it. Joe Manchin, for his part, he's like, you can pass whatever the hell you want. I didn't say I'm going to vote for it.
People are concerned. They're concerned about inflation. They're concerned about the debt. No, we don't talk about it, but they are concerned. I can tell you back home in West Virginia, gas prices are enormous. People are having a hard time driving to work and paying $20 or $30 more to fill up. They're going to the grocery stores and getting 30% less. They're about ready to face a very bad winter, we're told, at much higher prices. So, yes, I think we should be upfront, honest, and transparent with American people and do what we can afford to do.
Okay, so here's the problem. The Biden administration has every incentive never to be upfront and transparent with the American people. Because if they were, they'd have to acknowledge that they've lied to the American people since the election. The election was all about Joe Biden being moderate. He lied. He's not a moderate. And of course, he continues to lie. The lies just come fast and furious. Yesterday, Joe Biden ripped Peter Ducey over him asking a question about paying off illegal immigrants to the tune of $450,000 a pop. And now this was a report from the Wall Street Journal that the DOJ was going to sign a settlement with families who'd been separated to pay families, each member of the family who'd been separated, $450,000. So like almost $1 million. If you're an illegal immigrant dad and you crossed with your kid and then you were separated because you illegally immigrated and under the Flores settlement, if we held you, we had to separate your kid from you, we're going to pay them nearly $1 million thanks to the ACLU and the Biden DOJ. Here was Biden ripping on Peter Ducey for even asking the question.
As you were leaving for your overseas trip, there were reports that were surfacing that your administration is planning to pay illegal immigrants who are separated from their families at the border up to $450,000 each, possibly $1 million per family. Do you think that that might incentivize more people to come over illegally?
If you guys keep sending that garbage out, yeah, but it's not true.
So this is a garbage report?
Yeah.
Okay. So
$450,000 per person. Is that what you're saying?
That was separated from a family member at the border under the last administration.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. The ACLU then put out a statement and said, it's already happening. And then CNN was like, yeah, that's not true. Daniel Dale making a rare appearance on CNN these days to critique a Democrat. And he's like the man on the side of the milk carton that family of 11 is buying. He completely disappeared from CNN's airwaves for large swaths of time. Remember, he used to go out there and fire hose how much Trump was lying. And now only occasionally does he come out and note that Joe Biden is a horrible liar.
The Wall Street Journal was correct not reporting garbage when it reported that the Biden administration is in discussions to settle lawsuits brought on behalf of families affected by the family separation policy. And the Wall Street Journal was correct in reporting that these settlement discussions include talks of possible financial compensation. In fact, White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said today at the White House briefing that President Biden is comfortable with financial compensation as long as it ends up saving taxpayers' money and helps people turn the page from the horrors of the Trump days.
Okay, so that means Biden was lying. And by the way, the White House acknowledged it. Like, he's so out of it. He's not even a part of his own administration. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre saying this.
The president is perfectly comfortable with the Department of Justice settling with the individuals and families who are currently in litigation with the U.S. government. You know, DOJ can obviously speak more to that process. The president was, what he was reacting to was the dollar figure that was mentioned, that you mentioned to him yesterday. As press accounts to date indicate, there's been press accounts on this, DOJ made clear to the plaintiffs that the reported figures are higher than anywhere that a settlement can land.
Okay, so there is the White House basically acknowledging that Joe Biden is full of it. Man's not in control of his own administration, but these are the elites, and so they must be in control of you. So a man who's not in control, as I've said, of his own bowels is going to be in control of every aspect of your life. And then you're supposed to trust the institutions because they've demonstrated such fealty to principle over the past several years. Yeah, the blowback is coming, and it's coming hard. Alrighty, coming up, if you'd like a comforting thought about the elites and the institutions and their control about you, how about Al Gore keeping tabs on how much you use your car? Does that sound great to you? We'll get to that in a moment. First, this holiday season, deck the halls, walls, windows, and doors with the best deals of the year on the award-winning Ring Alarm. I'm sure we all know about the Ring Video Doorbell by now. If you don't, you haven't been listening to the show. But did you know that Ring also makes an award-winning alarm? Ring Alarm is a powerful, affordable, whole home security system you can easily install yourself. So whether you're running across town or across the country this busy season, you and your loved ones can rest easy knowing your home is protected. And it's much more than security. Ring Alarm protects your home from flood, freeze, and fire as well, and it's cheaper than the other companies that are out there. Right now, for the best deals of the year on Ring Alarm, go to ring.com/Ben. I rely on my Ring Alarm all the time. And when I'm out of town, I want to make sure I know what's happening on my property. I just check in using my Ring app, and I can. Or let's say that my little squishy baby It runs out of my field of vision. And I look around, like, uh-oh, what's she doing? And I haven't heard something crashing yet. I don't know where she is. I just grab that Ring app, I bring it up, and now I know where she is. This holiday season, make sure to deck the halls, walls, doors, and windows with the best deals of the year on Ring Alarm. Go to ring.com/Ben. Get a great deal on a Ring Alarm security kit today. That's ring.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, Al Gore is now promising that climate change will be stopped by tech overlords who can monitor you. Oh, that's not creepy at all. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car washes starting at only $9. A clean car is essential to the value and even safety of a vehicle. And at Quick and Clean Car Wash, they have a variety of car wash packages to choose from. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. I want to invite you to our annual packages for the troops, December 4th. Join us from 1 to 6 p.m. at the VFW Hall in Anderson on Center Street. $10 for adults, $8 for students with ID. Children 12 and under are free. Admission covers costs for lunch and partial shipping for a box. And hey, while you're out there buying Halloween candy, buy an extra bag for the troops. You can drop donations off every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices located at 2110 North Street in Anderson, or bring it to the event December 4th. Again, this year I want to remind you, Homeward Bound is providing Thanksgiving and Christmas meals for military families in need during these holidays. You can donate canned goods, hams or turkeys, or gift cards. Again, drop-off for your donation is every Friday between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. at the museum offices on North Street. For more information, call Rob Burrows at 530-510-8210. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So let's say that a crazy person showed up at your front door, started pounding and knocking on it, telling you that the world is ending and you need to give them all your money. Would you listen to them? Apparently a lot of people would, because for some reason, this sort of shtick is going over big in left-wing circles. So over the last 24 hours, a bunch of climate change protesters confronted Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, who has been holding up Build Back Better because he says that it is costing too much money and that a lot of the measures that are being taken, the biggest number, by the way, in that Build Back Better plan is like over $500 billion for climate change stuff, just random miscellaneous climate change stuff. So here was Joe Manchin being harassed by protesters yesterday.
We want to live! 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 We want to live!
So, Yeah, yelling at him, "We want to live." I don't think that's going to achieve what you think it's going to achieve. I feel like that's not going to go all that great. And also, who's stopping you? Like, really? I just want to know, any of those people who are filming with their high-technology iPhones and wearing their expensive clothes from Lululemon, are any of those people really feeling like in serious existential danger right now? And do they really believe that a climate increase over the next 100 years of 2 degrees Celsius, as moderated by human adaptation, is putting their existences at risk? Or are they just having some fun out there by harassing Joe Manchin? And why would you listen to them in the first place? I don't understand why you would think that these people have anything relevant to say in any possible way. The answer, of course, is they don't. But if you listen to all of the climate alarmists, then they should take control of all your life, like the craziest among us. So Al Gore, who, remember, predicted that all the polar bears would basically be dead by this point, and the Earth has a fever, the Earth is on fire. It's all on fire. So now he's there on MSNBC explaining that man bear pig must be stopped. You must stop man bear pig.
Next year, we'll have it down to the level of every single power plant, refinery, every large ship, every plane, every waste dump, and we'll have the identities of the people who are responsible for each of those greenhouse gas emission streams. And if investors or governments or civil society activists want to hold them responsible, they will have the information upon which to base their action in holding them responsible.
Okay, so they're now going to track you down at your house if your car is running too many emissions. Great. I want that idiot who has made, by the way, like tens of millions of dollars by talking about how the climate is really bad. He takes private jets everywhere. You know, it's nice to be Al Gore. Really, really nice. I will say my favorite story of the day from COP26, which continues over in Glasgow, Scotland. I've been informed by our Scottish listeners that I was pronouncing it wrong. It's not Glasgow, even though that's how it's spelled. It's Glasgow. So in any case, this is my favorite story of the day about what's happening over in Glasgow. According to CNBC, climate campaigners and environmental activists have sharply criticized the organization of the COP26 climate summit, describing UN brokered talks as the most exclusionary they have ever known. The meeting, which formally opened on Sunday, has been billed as humanity's last best chance to prevent the worst of what the climate crisis has in store. By the way, that's every single climate summit they have. Said it's our last chance. This is the turning point. 5 months later. This right here. It's our last chance. This is the turning point. 6 months after that. This is our last chance. If we don't stop it now, we're never stopping it. Fast forward 4 months and all the rest. Logistical difficulties, the exclusion of people with disabilities, and a lack of attendees from the global south are just some of the criticisms leveled at the event organizers. I'd like to be polite, Asad Rahman, a spokesperson for the COP26 coalition, told CNBC, but it won't go down as the worst planned, worst organized, least effective COP I have ever known. It's just unbelievable. Raymond, who said he'd been attending UN climate talks for over a decade, estimated only one-third of the usual number of participants representing the Global South have been able to attend due to COVID-19 restrictions, a lack of affordable accommodation, and an inability to access the conference. He said this seriously undermines the credibility of the meeting. The COP26 Coalition is a UK-based group that represents indigenous communities, frontline activists, and grassroots campaigns from the Global South. So basically, they're now saying that it's all racist. Meanwhile, Greta Thunberg was out there yelling at people while enjoying her moment in the spotlight. Eventually, it'll fade because, again, she's 18 years old, which means that she's 4 years away from being completely irrelevant. It was sort of charming and unique when she was a 15-year-old screaming at the adults. When you're a 22-year-old screaming at the adults, we just call you a college student. So Thunberg said via Twitter, "This is a Global North Greenwash Festival, a two-week celebration of business as usual and blah, blah, blah." Now, she actually tweeted that, blah, blah, blah. I thought that when we had the audio clip earlier this week of her saying blah, 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 it was just a spontaneous thing, but now she writes it in tweets. Blah, blah, blah. So I am enjoying all of the leftists tearing each other apart for failing to be more diverse in their approach to climate change. By the way, you want to know why nothing's getting done here? The reason nothing is getting done here is because developing nations are now demanding, I kid you not, $1.3 trillion a year in climate finance, including China and India. China wants us to pay them to reduce their emissions. Is it going to go well? According to the Wall Street Journal, African nations and a group called the Like-Minded Developing Countries, which includes China, India, and Indonesia, said in a document, Half the money should go toward funding renewable energy, half toward protecting those countries from the effects of global warming. So China didn't attend, but they did say that we should pay them. Also India. So, good. It's all going great. Probably if we put Al Gore in charge, it'll be fixed. Alrighty, coming up, we're joined by Andy McCarthy to discuss the breaking wide open of the Steele dossier scandal. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Say.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Andy McCarthy, Senior Fellow at National Review Institute, National Review contributing editor and author of Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency, which looks really, really important today. Andy, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Ben, it's my pleasure.
So, you know, for those of us who haven't been following particularly closely the saga of the Steele dossier and Igor Danchenko, so Danchenko was indicted by the John Durham investigation. And a lot of people don't know a lot of these names. So can you sort of just give us a brief rundown on why this is important and what it actually says about, say, the Trump-Russia collusion nonsense?
Yeah, well, Danchenko, Ben, is the main source of the information that went into what's known as the Steele dossier, which is this sort of screed of innuendo that was pulled together by a former British spy, Christopher Steele. And it turns out, and probably I should just cut to the chase here. What it looks like Durham's theory is that the Trump-Russia collusion narrative was completely a fabrication of the Clinton campaign, and that it was peddled to the press and the FBI and developed by people who were working for the Clinton campaign, namely this guy Steele, who had been retained by this information or intelligence firm in the D.C. area run by Glenn Simpson, known as Fusion GPS. They had been retained in turn by Perkins Coie, which is the Clinton campaign's lawyers. So the idea is they basically developed this storyline that Trump is connected to Russia. The staggering thing about this indictment, by the way, is that if Clinton hadn't had such connections to Russia, which are pervasive, they probably couldn't have pulled this thing off, because a lot of the information that they used in order to try to portray Trump as close to the Russians was came to them because the people who were working with them had very ready connections to Russia themselves. But the idea is they developed this narrative, their lawyers and Fusion GPS peddle it to the media and the FBI. The FBI uses it to open a counterintelligence investigation on the Trump campaign, and then the campaign is able to say not only that Trump is a Putin puppet, but that he's under investigation for being won by the FBI. So I think that's where he's going.
So, Andy, I mean, one of the things that is clear from this is that the FBI knew by early 2017 that Danchenko had lied to them. And yet it took them 4 years to apparently indict Danchenko. Meanwhile, we had the entire Mueller investigation, which, again, was predicated on the slimmest of reads, largely including things like the Steele dossier or Carter Page's travel schedule and all the rest of this. We had 4 long years of the idea that Trump was actually a Russian puppet and that the Russians had gotten Trump elected because of his collusion with them. And is anyone here going to pay the price? I mean, it seems like the Durham's theory seems to be that the FBI is an unwilling dupe in all of this, that basically they got suckered by a bunch of supremely clever operators working with the Clinton campaign. But frankly, from the outside, given the information we now have, it looks like either the FBI is filled with dullards or alternatively, the FBI was willing to work with the Clinton campaign because there were some people inside the FBI who were pretty warm toward the message.
Yeah, I think, Ben, that you've really hit on what the big problem for Durham's investigation is, which is the two indictments that we've gotten in the last 6 weeks or so, about in September, they indicted Michael Sussman, who was one of the Perkins Coie lawyers who was peddling some of this Trump-Russia information. Now they've gotten Danchenko. But the upshot that you get from these indictments is that these guys deceived the FBI, and then and that sort of caused the FBI to run to the FISA court and be all concerned about the Trump campaign. The problem with that is at least twofold. One is they're pushing on an open door. It's clear that the people at the FBI, particularly the people who were running the FBI, did not like Trump, and they were more than willing to believe information that came to them indicating that Trump was corrupt. So they didn't do the things that the FBI is ordinarily supposed to do, which is to corroborate information before you use it in court proceedings. And the astonishing thing about this, or one of the astonishing things about this Danchenko application or indictment, is that Durham says that the FBI interviewed Danchenko for the first time in January of 2017. Well, their first FISA application based on the information that was coming from Danchenko was in October of 2016. So they didn't even talk to Danchenko before they were already getting the second 90-day FISA warrant. And what people ought to understand about this is when the FBI gives the FISA court this sworn affidavit to try to get a surveillance warrant, it's called a verified application because they're supposed to verify it before they go to court, not wait till after they've gotten the second warrant before they start to talk to the sources.
You know, Andy, one of the things that is so astonishing about this also is that one of the people who is not named, but it's now clear who he is, who's one of the sources for the Steele dossier, was just a lawyer who was working for Clinton, right? It was a PR flack who was working essentially for the Clinton campaign. And what, just went to Christopher Steele and was like, here's some things that I heard. And Christopher Steele just gussied that up, put it in his report, and this became, you know, the source for some of the information. This is so obviously a put-up job that it's astonishing. And without the imprimatur of the FBI, this goes nowhere. That's the part that's really incredible about this, is that if they just popped out the Steele dossier of the Clinton campaign early on in the campaign, everybody would have looked at it and thought, this is just idiotic. This is coming from the Clinton campaign. There's no verifiable information in here. Everything that we can verify has turned out to be false, and it would have been the end of it. But they required the FBI to launder this into public view in order to even justify getting those charges out there. And you see that mostly with how the Steele dossier ended up directly in public view in the first place, which was they used the hook of James Comey saying something about it to Donald Trump. And then BuzzFeed said, what was it that James Comey was talking about? Boom, here's the dossier. And he just put it out there without verifying any of the details. It becomes the key piece of evidence supporting the notion that Trump was a Russian tool for most of the media and in part for the Mueller investigation for 4 years. And Comey, it's hard to think he didn't do that on purpose. I mean, how exactly does anybody at that meeting leak to BuzzFeed that Comey has said something to Trump, which now provides the news hook where BuzzFeed can say it's newsworthy, we're putting it out there without having to actually check into the allegations?
Yeah, because up until that point, Ben, the Comey briefing of Trump, I believe, is January 6th of 2017. And he had had a meeting with Obama and Biden the day before Comey did, where they had gone over the same information, which itself is very interesting. But the media, a lot of people in the media had the Steele dossier before that point. And they had been reluctant. In fact, they hadn't run with it, even though they were very anti-Trump, because none of it could be corroborated, which, you know, underscores yet another problem for the FBI, which I think you referred to in your first question to me, which is this information is so preposterous that you would think if they had, like, sat down with a couple of people for 5 minutes, they would have been able to poke holes in it and said, you know, hold on here, maybe we shouldn't be jumping on this. So they have this information that they could easily have discredited if they had done the normal FBI kind of investigation. And yet here's the head of the FBI using it to brief on one day the sitting president of the United States, on the next day the president-elect, and then the problem that you just allude to, which is this information was too uncorroborated, rumor-ridden, and discredited for anyone in the media to have run with it to that point. But once Comey used it to brief Trump, then it becomes a story. It doesn't matter that it's just innuendo and it can easily be knocked down. Now, if it's important enough for the FBI director to be talking to the president-elect about it, it becomes a story.
You know, Andy, honestly, it's super disturbing to people like me who want to have institutional trust in the institutions that have the most capacity to look into the private areas of our life, like the FBI. And so for a long time, I found a lot of the allegations that were being made about the FBI difficult to believe, simply because if you spend your life believing that there are a bunch of people out there who are looking out for your best interest and trying to protect you, when you find out that, in fact, you're able to so quickly weaponize an entire institution or the institutional leadership on behalf of just utterly specious arguments based on politics, it's supremely disturbing stuff. And I think it does go to a general lack of trust in institutions that Americans have been feeling of late.
Yeah, I think that's right. Although, you know, what I would say about the FBI in its defense, and I've been as critical of them as anyone, is that I think the lesson here, Ben, is that counterintelligence, there's no other side of the equation. You know, if you do a criminal investigation, the system keeps you honest because you know at the end, once you charge people, all the information is going to go to the defense lawyers. They're going to be able to see everything that you represented to a court. And you don't have to be a good guy to be on your good behavior. All you need to know is if I screw up here, everybody's going to know about it. And that kind of keeps people on the straight and narrow. You don't have anything like that with FISA. When they go to the court, you know, that information, if they don't give due process to whatever American they're trying to investigate in the meeting that they have with the FISA judge, no one will ever know that, you know, they didn't investigate properly. And I think it's a big temptation for them to cut corners and exaggerate, which is, you know, every time there's a FISA scandal, what we see when we look under the rock is that, you know, they haven't followed their procedures and some of the things they've said to the court weren't true.
That's Andy McCarthy, senior fellow at National Review Institute. Go pick up his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Andy, I know you're on short time. Last question for you. Just your brief take on the Biden OSHA mandate. We here at the Daily Wire are already suing. We've already filed a lawsuit with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals looking for injunctive relief against this thing. It seems hard to believe that this is either legal under the original meaning of the OSHA Act or that it's constitutional.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ben, and it's an emergency thing. So what I think you and I should do is have an emergency discussion about this, maybe March or so. Does that work for you?
Perfect.
The idea that you could – I mean, Biden announced this 2 months ago. It's not going to go into effect for another 2 months, and they're doing it on an emergency authorization, which is insane. And the last time they did an emergency authorization was in the 1980s. The court slapped it down. I think they've tried to use this thing six times, and five times the courts have slapped it down. And here they're not even – it's a joke to call it an emergency before you even get to whether it has all the things in it, including exemptions for conscience and stuff like that, which would affect its constitutionality. But I don't see how they can justify under the Administrative Procedure Act how they're proceeding as an emergency measure when they're not treating it like an emergency.
Now, that is certainly our legal theory of the case, and we're going to be pushing hard on this particular issue, obviously. Andy McCarthy, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate your insight.
Thank you, Ben.
All righty, coming up, Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci are going at it again. Anthony Fauci is just fibbing, because that's what the man does. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about how you listen to the kind of content you like to listen to, whether it is music or podcasts, whether it is phone calls or TV. You need a great pair of wireless earbuds. This is why you need Raycons. With seamless Bluetooth pairing and a comfortable noise-isolating fit, you can start listening right away and keep listening for hours. The audio quality is amazing, comparable to what you get from other premium audio brands, except Raycons start at about half the price. The new everyday earbuds, they come with three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. You got pure mode for podcast listening. You got balanced mode for rock. You got bass mode for hip-hop. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime, 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic. You can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. So what exactly are you waiting for? Head on over to buyraycon.com/Ben. Unlock exclusive deals up to 20% off your Raycon order today. Hurry. This offer is available for a limited time only. You don't want to miss it. That is buyraycon.com/Ben. BuyRayCon.com/Ben to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons today. Buyraycon.com/Ben. A great pair of wireless earbuds for a fraction of the price. Alrighty. Coming up. Rand Paul, Anthony Fauci, they are going at it again. And, of course, Rand Paul is telling the truth, and Anthony Fauci sort of is. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Redding Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, KCNR1460.com, and AM1460 has teamed up with Golden Valley Bank for Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans for their service, and a portion of the proceeds goes to help out local homeless veterans. Golden Valley Bank at 250 Hempstead Drive, Suite 100, creates a truly unique local banking experience. Talk to our relationship banker today at 222-4000. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Working remotely and wanting to level up by maximizing your working experience? Stop by Drop-In Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East. Rachel left a 5-star review for Drop-In. Love this place. I moved to Redding recently from the Bay Area and work remotely full-time. Started going nuts at home, and luckily, this place is a great location and meets my needs beyond my expectations. They also left a 5-star review. Very productive place. It took me a few hours at Drop-In to finish a few days' work at home. Internet is super fast. Drop-In Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East in Redding. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Redding Garden of Lights is taking place November 19th through December 31st at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens by the Sundial Bridge, featuring over 1 million lights, plus holiday-themed food, drinks, music, and so much more. Presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci are going at it again. Basically, Anthony Fauci is deeply reliant on shifting what terms mean. So what Rand Paul has claimed, and he's correct in this, is that the Wuhan Institute of Virology received funding via a cutout from the NIH to study bat coronaviruses and make them more transmissible to humans. And in normal parlance, you would call this gain-of-function research because you have gained a function. But the NIH attempted to backfill that by claiming it is not, in fact, gain-of-function research to make an animal virus transmissible to humans. It only is called gain-of-function research when you make a virus more transmissible within its own species, which is one odd take. So, Rand Paul, Anthony Fauci, what is this, round seven at this point?
When EcoHealth Alliance took the virus, SHC-014, and combined it with WIV-1 and caused a recombinant virus that doesn't exist in nature, and it made mice sicker, mice that had humanized cells, you're saying that that's not gain-of-function research?
According to the framework and guidelines.
So what you're doing is defining away gain-of-function. No. You're simply saying it doesn't exist because you changed the definition on the NIH website. This is terrible, and you're completely trying to escape the idea that we should do something about trying to prevent a pandemic from leaking from a lab.
He is right. Anthony Fauci is wrong, as per our usual arrangement. Rand Paul's been right on this all the way throughout the pandemic, and Anthony Fauci has been wrong on this all the way throughout the pandemic. By the way, the Biden study that concluded that we had no idea where the virus came from. Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea where the virus came from. Meanwhile, in some actual COVID good news, Pfizer said a preliminary look at study results indicates that its experimental pill is highly effective at preventing people at high risk of severe COVID-19 from needing hospitalization or dying. The latest encouraging performance for an early virus treatment. The company's drug cut the risk of hospitalization or death in subjects with mild to moderate COVID-19 by about 89% if they took the pill within 3 days of diagnosis. The drug is called Paxlovid. It was also found to be generally safe and well-tolerated in the early look at ongoing study results. Pfizer is asking the FDA to authorize the drug's use this month. The company could deliver doses this year if regulators give a thumbs up. Pfizer Chief Scientific Officer Mikhail Dolsten said, "It's stunning data. I feel very optimistic on a day like this. For everyone living in this pandemic, a new light of hope has turned on." Now, here's the thing. The light of hope is already on with the vaccines, right, which are highly effective against hospitalization and death. Now, this thing is significantly more hope for people, because even if you get COVID, now you take the pill and you ain't going to die by all available metrics. If authorized, there could be two COVID-19 pills people could take at home before the end of the year to keep them out of the hospital in the first place. An antiviral from Merck and Ridgeback Biotherapeutics was cleared for use in the UK this week. It is up for U.S. authorization as well. That one is called Molnupiravir. It was found in an early look at study results to reduce the risk of hospitalization or death in people with mild to moderate symptoms by 50%. Therapeutics are useful. So are Democrats still going to cling to masking as the solution to all of this when we have vaccines? And then when we also have pills? Like what exactly, how undeadly do we have to make this disease for Democrats to leave everyone alone? How widespread do the solutions have to be for Democrats to just leave everyone alone? And why is the Biden administration, at the same time this news is coming out, they're pushing the notion that everybody with over 100 employees must force everyone to mask or vax? Why? Why? We don't treat any disease on planet Earth this way. Certainly not a disease that has the death rates of COVID. Pfizer researchers identified the drug in-house last year. Its late-stage study began in July. It enrolled people deemed at high risk of becoming seriously ill with COVID-19. So this was, by the way, the studies were done on people who were already unhealthy. About half received the drug and a low dose of ritonavir twice a day for 5 days. The other study subjects got a placebo. Treatment began within 5 days after the participants developed COVID-19 symptoms. About 70% of the 3,000 targeted subjects had enrolled by the time of the early analysis of results on Wednesday. 45% of the subjects were located in the United States. In the interim analysis, three of the 389 subjects who received the drug within 3 days of showing symptoms were hospitalized through 4 weeks after beginning treatment. By comparison, 27 of the 385 subjects in the placebo group were either hospitalized or died. That's an efficacy rate of about 89%. And by the way, it's probably more significant than this, because, again, this was done on a population of people who were expected to get seriously ill from COVID, meaning people who were obese, who had pre-existing conditions, maybe had diabetes. Through the 4 weeks, no subject who received the Pfizer drug had died, compared with 10 deaths in the placebo group, according to Pfizer. If cleared for use, Pfizer said it would price the drug through a tiered system in which low- and middle-income countries would pay less than wealthier ones. That's how they've done the COVID-19 vaccine. So, again, a good piece of news. So why is all that we get out of this administration authoritarian COVID mandates and talk about how people are screwed up if they won't get a vaccine or mask? Like, why? Isn't a little optimism in order here? If the economy recovers in spite of Joe Biden, not because of Joe Biden certainly should not get the credit. If people go back to, I mean, that's what's happening right now. The economic recovery that's taking place in the United States is largely driven by states that have ignored Joe Biden. You can look at those unemployment rates. Again, I do it every single month. If you look at the unemployment rates by state in the United States, they differ widely by political affiliation. And I'm looking at it again. This is from today, U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, your best state in terms of unemployment rate. Nebraska, Utah, Idaho, New Hampshire, South Dakota, Vermont, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri, Virginia, Kansas, Wisconsin, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, South Carolina, North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Wyoming, and finally, you get to Michigan about halfway down. Okay, of the states that I just mentioned, the only ones that are clear blue states are Vermont and Minnesota. That's all of them. Okay, all the others are red, and a few are purple. And if you go to the other end of the spectrum, there are the worst states in terms of unemployment rate. Nevada, California, New York, New Jersey, New Mexico, Illinois, Connecticut, Hawaii, District of Columbia. You have to get to Alaska before you get to high unemployment rates. Okay, those are all blue states except for Alaska. So if you're tempted to credit Joe Biden and his COVID policies for fixing everything, let me just say nope, nope on all of this from top to bottom. So glad we have good economic reports. Let's put the credit where the credit is due with the states that have refused to abide by Joe Biden's ongoing COVID panic. And let's give credit to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema for not ramming through additional inflationary measures in the middle of an inflationary spiral. Alrighty, we'll be back here next week with much, much more. Now, let me just remind you, we are currently engaged in a lawsuit with the federal government. You should head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe and use promo code DONOTCOMPLY for 25% off. That helps us out. We are fighting against the COVID vax mandate that is being pressed by this administration. We need your help to do it because lawsuits are super expensive. And we're doing this not just on our own behalf, but on behalf of every other company and their employees. So give us a hand by subscribing over at dailywire.com. Promo code DONOTCOMPLY. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Prosecutors and defense attorneys presented dueling portraits of Ahmaud Arbery as the trial begins for three white men.
In her opening statement, Prosecutor Linda Donikowski said a series of assumptions and driveway decisions triggered the attack on the 25-year-old black man.
This is the emergency, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out here in Satilla Shores, and there's a black male running down the street.
Defense attorney Robert Rubin said Travis McMichael and his father Greg considered Arbery a scary mystery who had been videotaped inside a nearby house that was under construction where things had gone missing.
It's not some random guy running down the street. It's the guy.
Rubin said the McMichaels gave chase, hoping to detain him until police arrived. But Arbery refused to stop and lunged toward McMichael and his gun.
Travis McMichael is acting in self-defense.
The McMichaels and a neighbor, William Bryan, who joined the chase, are all charged with murder and other felonies. Trial audio courtesy of Court TV. I'm Jennifer King.
House Democrats are moving forward Friday with a plan to vote separately on passage of the bipartisan Senate-passed infrastructure bill and adoption of a procedural rule for a sweeping social spending package. Details from Bernie Bennett.
Passage of the Democratic-backed Human Infrastructure and Climate Change bill would come later after compromise with a half a dozen moderates. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the bill is rushed.
And all today, they want to rush through a bill that will cost $4 trillion and bring more harm and damage to the problems they've already created.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats worked hard on the bills with few dissensions.
Over 90% of the bill was built House, Senate, White House. So if there are a couple things at the end that are different, we'll deal with those.
Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Democratic leaders in Virginia conceded Friday that Republicans have won control of the House of Delegates. On Wall Street, the Dow by 203 points. This is townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son, founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
With a Democratic sweep officially in place, we are now at the mercy of tax and spend economics. Get ready for runaway national debt pushing the further devaluation of the dollar. So if you haven't invested in gold, now is the time to protect your savings. Birch Gold Group is the premier precious metals IRA company in America. With an A-plus BBB rating and thousands of satisfied customers, Birch Gold can help you move an eligible IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by gold. Go to birchgold.com/radio for your free information kit. That's birchgold.com/radio.
Hearings are set for two Iowa students charged in a teacher's death. Correspondent Mike Rossia reports.
Court hearings are set for next week for two Iowa 16-year-olds charged with murder in the death of a high school Spanish teacher. Investigators say 66-year-old Nohima Graber was reported missing Tuesday. Her remains were found at a park later that day. Court filings stated Graber suffered inflicted trauma to the head and her body had been concealed. Willard Noble Chaden Miller and Jeremy Everett Goodale were charged as adults with first-degree murder as well as conspiracy to commit a forcible felony. According to court documents, police received a tip that Goodale posted details on social media about planning a killing and a possible motive. Documents also said Miller admitted to being at the park and helping conceal Graber's death. I'm Mike Gracia.
News and analysis always available at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Iran's atomic agency says its stockpile of 20% enriched uranium has reached over 463 pounds.
It's been known for some months that Iran has been producing uranium enriched to 60%. A report to that effect by the UN nuclear watchdog back in April was subsequently confirmed by Tehran, which in June said it had produced 6.5 kilograms of the material so far. The latest information suggests that it's now produced four times that amount. The concern over the enrichment program is that it brings Iran ever closer to the 90% uranium enrichment, which is considered to be weapons grade.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. A prosecutor investing accusations that former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo groped a woman has asked a judge for more time, saying the criminal complaint filed last week by the local sheriff was potentially defective. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Don't like big tech and the government spying on you? Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. We have a lot of news and a lot of different areas to get to today. Why don't we begin with the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, which has finally opened. This, of course, is the trial of the 17-year-old, she was 17-year-old at the time, young man who was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was there to help with medical care for people on the ground and also to prevent rioters from burning down businesses and burning cars and such. And the entire situation ended with three people shot and two people dead. Kyle Rittenhouse has been charged now with murder. There's one problem. There's no case against Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, there really is no case at all against Kyle Rittenhouse. They brought up a sort of minor gun charge. That one is a little more controversial. But the murder case, just, it never existed. And the fact that this was ever brought to trial just demonstrates how political our judicial system sometimes is. It demonstrates that if a prosecutor gets it in their head that they must prosecute somebody regardless of the facts on the ground, they will do so even when the case just simply does not exist. And we know that the case against Rittenhouse doesn't exist because the prosecution yesterday brought forth a bunch of witnesses, and they all promptly testified to Rittenhouse's self-defense case. And so Rittenhouse's argument is that he shot the people who were threatening him in self-defense. And the prosecution really, really struggled because it turns out that we knew from the very first day, right, as soon as the video footage emerged, we knew exactly what was going on in the Rittenhouse case, and it was that he had shot people in self-defense. So, for example, this entire incident, the timeline of the Kyle Rittenhouse incident, started when Rittenhouse essentially was chased down the street by some people who were threatening him. And a gunshot was fired in the air. He turned around, and there was a guy who was lunging for him. And so he shot the guy. Here is video. This is courtesy of ABC News. This is video from that night. This is the first shooting.
A man who police identified as Rittenhouse runs across the parking lot of an auto service shop, followed by a shirtless man who was later identified as Joseph Rosenbaum. Moments later, shots ring out.
Okay, now, you can stop it right there. You heard a shot before the narrator says, moments later, shots ring out. Okay, well, that first shot was actually not Rittenhouse. That was somebody who was chasing him, firing a shot into the air. Rittenhouse is running away, has no idea where the shot's coming from. Then it turns out that Rosenbaum, who it also turns out was a career criminal, is chasing him down and is lunging for his gun. Okay, so that is shooting number one. Okay, so now we move on to shooting number two. Rittenhouse is now being chased down the street by a bunch of ne'er-do-wells, and they physically assault him. And there, one person comes at him with a gun. He shoots that guy in the arm. Another person tries to hit him in the face with a skateboard. He shoots him and kills him. Right, here is that video. Again, this is all on video, guys. He falls down. You can see he raises the gun. There's somebody trying to hit him with the skateboard. He shoots the guy. And then there's a guy who approaches him. He has a pistol in his hand, right? The guy approaching him has a pistol in his hand. Okay, so, all of that is on video, right? Uncontroverted. It's on video. Pretty clearly and obviously a case of self-defense. The prosecution is trying to argue that Rittenhouse started the fight. That Rittenhouse essentially insulted a guy or tried to initiate conflict with Rosenbaum, who was originally chasing him. And the big problem is that it's pretty clear that's not what happened. And there's FBI inferred video. So it turns out the FBI has eyes on nearly everything happening in the United States, apparently. We never saw this video until now. And you can see from the video exactly how this went down. So you have person of interest one and person of interest two. Yeah, and you see that they're having some sort of conversation between the cars. And then person of interest two starts running away, being chased by person of interest one. So what the prosecution is attempting to claim is that person of interest one, who is Rosenbaum, was confronted by Rittenhouse. But that's not what the testimony of the prosecution's own witnesses said. They said that it's precisely the opposite. So there's a witness named Ryan Balch. And he was called by the prosecution. This guy was not called by the defense. And Ryan Balch says in open testimony that Rosenbaum had said earlier that if he caught Rittenhouse alone, he would kill him. Okay, that's not, the prosecutors called this guy. This is their case? The prosecutors? Here we go.
When I turned around, Rosenbaum was right there in front of my face, yelling and screaming. And I would say, dude, back up. Chill. I don't know what your problem is. And he goes, you know what? If I catch any of you guys alone tonight, I'm going to fucking kill you.
And he said that to you?
Correct.
Did he say that to the defendant as well?
The defendant was there, so yes.
That's the prosecutor's witness. Whoops. That's not good. Now, again, this is all undercut. The entire prosecution case here was undercut by all the footage from the evening up. In fact, the prosecutors tried to bar testimony and bar actual video of Rittenhouse talking before any of this happened. Because there's video from Rittenhouse earlier in the night talking about why he was there in Kenosha, Wisconsin in the first place. This does not sound like a guy who went out to shoot some people in the middle of a riot.
So people are getting injured, and our job is to protect this business, and part of my job is also help people. If there's somebody hurt, I'm running into harm's way. That's why I have my resume, because I need to protect myself, obviously. But I'm glad my men can.
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed by a person in the crowd.
So you had non-lethal, but you didn't respond.
We don't have non-lethal.
So you guys are full on ready to defend the property?
Yes, we are. Hey, now, if I can ask, can you guys step back? Medical, EMS right here. I'm an EMP.
Okay, so then the prosecution, and then he goes in this video, he's trying to help one of the rioters. Then the prosecution tries to bring a second witness. This is a guy named Richie McGinnis, who's a reporter for the Daily Caller, who you can see in the original video, who is following after Rittenhouse and Rosenbaum as they are running down the street. And after Rosenbaum is shot, you can see Richie McGinnis take off his shirt and try and provide some sort of medical care for Rosenbaum. And so the prosecutor tries to ask Richie McGinnis, so he was falling over Rosenbaum when he was shot, right? Like he tripped, and then he was wrongfully shot by Rittenhouse. And he was shot for no reason, because he was just falling over. And then Rittenhouse wanted to kill him, so he killed him. So it's not self-defense. And Richie McGinnis is like, well, no, actually, let me explain.
I kind of caught up to them. I was running a bit faster. And so at the time, initially, I was probably 30 feet back when everybody first started running. But then by the time I arrived in the lot, I was 15 feet.
And you continued to be behind Mr. Rosenbaum at the time that the defendant shot and killed him, correct?
I did alter my trajectory a little bit when I saw Mr. Rittenhouse turn around and saw Mr. Rosenbaum lunging for the front portion of the rifle.
Lunging for the front portion of the rifle. And the prosecutor tries to push him and tries to say, well, was he falling over? And the witness says, no, he said F you and reached for the weapon. Not great. Not great, Bob, for the prosecution. Now, the way the media are trying to portray this is as though it's just a sort of a conflict of visions. The Associated Press says jurors heard starkly different portrayals of Kyle Rittenhouse, instigator or victim, in opening statements at his trial on Tuesday on charges of shooting three people on the streets of Kenosha during a turbulent protest against racial injustice. A prosecutor said Rittenhouse set the bloodshed in motion when he triggered a confrontation with a man that night and then killed him with a bullet to the back. Rittenhouse's attorney told the jury his client acted in self-defense after the man tried to grab Rittenhouse's gun and others kicked the teen in the face and clubbed him in the head with a skateboard. If one of those stories is true and one of those stories is not, and the prosecution's story is not true, and then they called a bunch of witnesses who ripped apart their own case. Given the fact that the prosecution case is just a complete crap show here, why exactly was it brought in the first place? And the answer is because we live in a society where the media will not allow a case not to be brought so long as the purported victimizer is of the wrong political persuasion. There is no way that if this were a left-wing person who had shot a couple of Proud Boys in the streets and the video were available like this, that this prosecution is ever brought. It is just too weak a case. Politics, unfortunately, is now telescoped into individual cases of justice. We're no longer a country where individual cases are seen for what they are, judged on their fact patterns, judged on their merits. Instead, the outside politics of the players are telescoped into the proceedings. And that is exactly the wrong way to do this, right? Due process of law requires precisely the opposite. We saw this a lot with the Derek Chauvin trial in Minnesota. Regardless of what you think of Derek Chauvin's activities that day, and now the man has been convicted of murder, and regardless of what you think of the activities, there is still no evidence in the Derek Chauvin case that anything he did was motivated by racism. It didn't matter. It turned into a giant national referendum on whether police across the country were racist, despite the fact there was no evidence that Chauvin himself was racist or had done anything racist, as opposed to just egregiously wrong, in the confrontation with George Floyd. Now, everything is used as a stand-in for politics these days, and the Rittenhouse trial is just a perfect example of that. Because, again, the prosecution has so little a case that they are calling witnesses who are rebutting the prosecution case. And they can't stop it. If somehow Rittenhouse is convicted here on the basis of the evidence that's being presented, you can only chalk that up to politics, because there's literally no way to watch the testimony that's being given and not see that that's a self-defense case. And, well, this goes to a broader issue in the American public mind, and that is institutional trust. So, another major story that is undermining institutional trust these days is the case of Igor Danchenko. So now, according to the Washington Post, an analyst who is a primary source for a 2016 dossier of allegations against Donald Trump has been arrested on charges that he repeatedly lied to the FBI about where and how he got his information, officials said on Thursday. Igor Danchenko's role in providing information to British ex-spy Christopher Steele, who compiled the accusations about Trump in a series of reports, has long been a subject of scrutiny from internal Department of Justice investigators and special counsel John Durham, according to people familiar with the investigations. Steele presented that dossier to the FBI. It was part of the basis for secret surveillance court orders targeting former Trump advisor Carter Page, as the FBI investigated possible ties between the 2016 Trump presidential campaign and Russia. So you remember, the Steele dossier was used as the basis to target Carter Page. You remember that in January of 2017, before Trump's inauguration, or right after Trump's inauguration, James Comey approached Donald Trump and told him about the Steele dossier. And that mere telling him about the Steele dossier was used as the predicate for BuzzFeed then breaking the dossier wide on its website without vetting any of the details. And this became the basis of the Trump-Russia investigation. Now, Trump had deep ties to Russia, and for four long years, all we heard was that Trump was a Russian plant. The Steele dossier was still being trotted out as possibly true as late as like a few weeks ago. ABC News' George Stephanopoulos sat down with Christopher Steele, and Steele was maintaining that much of the data in there was still probably true. Well, it turns out that since 2017, like since the beginning of the saga, since the early days of 2017, the FBI knew that the key source for the Steele dossier was lying to them. They didn't know that in 2018, not 2019. In 2017, no prosecution, no attempts to quash, no public statements about why the Steele dossier was a load of crap. None of that. They just kept investigating, right? The Mueller investigation just kept going. A 2019 report by the Justice Department Inspector General found major problems with the accuracy of Danchenko's information. But the 39-page indictment unveiled on Thursday paints a more detailed picture of claims that were allegedly built on exaggerations, rumors, and outright lies. The indictment is likely to buttress Republican charges that Democrats and FBI agents intentionally or accidentally turned cheap partisan smears into a high-stakes national security investigation of a sitting president. It doesn't just buttress it, it proves it. And the Democrats laundered a bunch of dirty, probably Russian-provided misinformation through the FBI and then into the media and then back into law enforcement hands, where it was used as the basis for large swaths of the Mueller investigation. The indictment suggests Danchenko may have lied to Christopher Steele and others about where he was getting his information. Some of the material came from a Democratic Party operative with long-standing ties to Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, according to the charges, rather than even a well-connected Russian with insight into the Kremlin. So it turns out that some of the information wasn't even coming from Russia. It was coming from inside the House, from somebody who's just working with Hillary Clinton. The Washington Post admits the allegations cast new uncertainty on some past reporting on the dossier by news organizations, including the Washington Post. Well, it's too late. Everybody won their Pulitzers, and Donald Trump is no longer president, so victory achieved, gang. Danchenko appeared briefly Thursday in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia, where his lawyer tried to enter a plea of not guilty on his behalf for five counts of making false statements. The judge didn't accept the plea because the hearing was not an arraignment and Danchenko was released. Alrighty, coming up, Andy McCarthy breaks down what the Danchenko indictment means. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Coma Alliance.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Igor Danchenko, who's the key source for the Steele dossier, has now been indicted for lying to the FBI. Here's the thing. The FBI knew he was lying since 2017. Andy McCarthy has a great piece of the New York Post breaking down what that means. He says Danchenko has been charged with five counts of lying to the FBI in interviews during 2017, as the Bureau struggled in futility to verify outlandish allegations that Donald Trump and his campaign were clandestine agents of the Kremlin. Those allegations were compiled in the so-called Steele dossier, which the FBI relied on in obtaining surveillance warrants from a secret federal court. The dossier was generated by the Clinton campaign. Its principal author was former British spy Christopher Steele, Steele's main source, was Danchenko, a Russian native based in the United States who worked at the Brookings Institute, a Washington think tank whose former president, Strobe Talbot, is a college friend of Bill Clinton's who worked in the Clinton State Department. At Brookings, Danchenko worked with Fiona Hill, later a member of Trump's National Security Council and a key witness in the first Trump impeachment over the unrelated Ukraine controversy. It was through Hill that Danchenko became acquainted with Steele, who ran a London-based intelligence firm. Durham's indictment alleges that Danchenko lied about two major points. First, he fabricated the claim that the president of the Russian-American Chamber of Commerce informed him that, during the 2016 presidential campaign, Trump was involved in a well-developed conspiracy of cooperation with Putin. In reality, that conversation never happened. The chamber president is not identified by name in the indictment. After the Steele dossier became public, however, there's intense speculation that the chamber's founder, Sergei Milian, was a Steele dossier source. As I recounted in my book on Russiagate, says Annie McCarthy, Milian denied being a source, trashed the dossier as fake news created by sick minds. Danchenko is also alleged to have concealed that one of his sources for the information he was giving to Steele was a longtime Dem Party operative who was close to the Clintons, having worked on both of Bill Clinton's successful presidential campaigns and Hillary Clinton's 2008 presidential campaign. That source was revealed on Thursday to be Chuck Dolan, a public relations executive who had Russian contacts referred to as PR Executive One in the indictment. The FBI interviewed Danchenko because it was desperately trying to corroborate the Steele dossier claims. One question Durham must be pressing is, what took the Bureau so long? The Obama DOJ brought the FBI's sworn claims to the secret federal Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court in October 2016. The FBI is supposed to verify the allegations before going to court, but it didn't interview Danchenko, who was the main source, until January 2017. It was already obtaining its second 90-day spy warrants on Carter Page by that point. It appears that Durham theorizes the Trump-Russia collusion narrative was a political attack manufactured by the Clinton campaign. Relying on Danchenko, Steele compiled the reports for Glenn Simpson, co-founder of an intelligence firm, Fusion GPS, which specializes in digging up political dirt. Fusion GPS was retained by Perkins Coie, the Clinton campaign's law firm. In September, Durham indicted former Perkins Coie Michael Sussman for making a false statement to the FBI while peddling Trump-Russia allegations the Bureau eventually found to be unsubstantiated. Durham, his charging instruments suggest the Clinton campaign used its agents to peddle the Trump-Russia rumors to the government and the media and used the fact Trump was being investigated as part of the campaign messaging. So in other words, if you are talking about Russian interference in the election, it's really Democratic interference in the election by suggesting that a chief issue in the election is whether Trump was a Russian cat's paw, which, as you'll recall, was trotted out by the Clinton team throughout the election cycle. It turns out that the Russian probe, very likely, was just a piece of FBI manipulation by the Democratic Party, and then the FBI had to cover its own ass, and so refused to actually investigate all of the people thoroughly who had given it the information in the first place until now. It's unbelievable. Eli Lake writes for Bloomberg. It's been clear for 2 years that Steele's dossier was garbage. That's mainly thanks to the work of Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz, who released a report in 2019 skewering the FBI. Durham's investigation has taken a different approach. His last two indictments suggest the FBI was not a villain but a victim, conned by Democratic operatives to pursue bogus investigations into the Trump campaign. Danchenko is charged with hiding his relationship to a prominent Democrat in interviews with the FBI about the dossier. Of course, that is Charles Dolan, as we were discussing. The real victim of these Democratic Party deceptions was not the FBI, however, says Eli Lake, but the American public. That's why Durham's investigation now in its third year remains not only relevant, but vital. It is an incredible thing. So what we have here, if we've got this right, what we have here is that the Steele dossier, which was used as the basis for the FBI opening an investigation into Donald Trump's campaign, which ended up splashed across the front pages of every major newspaper in 2016, and then after the election ended up being the basis of the Mueller investigation, which dogged Trump for 4 years, and in frustration at which Trump started making bizarre phone calls and getting himself in all sorts of legal hot water. It turns out that all of that was because the media and the FBI decided to work along with the Democrats in order to take Trump down. Right? That's all that we're seeing here. And it took years for any of these prosecutions to take place. The FBI, it's amazing. The FBI knew Danchenko was lying in 2017. The calendar now says, according to my calculations, that it is 2021. What was the FBI doing all of this time? Institutional trust with the FBI has been broken for quite a while. It should be broken even further. These institutions, they are motivated by politics. Politics have infused them. When Donald Trump talked about the so-called deep state, people took that to mean that there was an active conspiracy of people working inside these departments. Sometimes that may be true. Right? There are a lot of these people who are working together, obviously. If you're looking at, for example, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, if you're looking at that coupling, right, those people clearly had similar priorities. But in reality, all this means that there is a feedback loop of people who share the same political echo chamber. And you can apparently retail any piece of garbage to the FBI. And so long as it is coming from a Democratic source, they won't even check into the sources of the original dossier. They won't even check into it. And then they will launder it. This is what James Comey did. They will launder it through the press to the public and help to destroy the presidency of a sitting president of the United States. That is an amazing, amazing thing. Listen, I was loath to believe a lot of the early charges. There are some people who are on this way earlier than I was. That is for damn sure. That's because I have a certain level of baseline American trust in these institutions. That trust has been deeply shaken. If it hasn't been shaken for you, it's because you're not watching this closely enough. Alrighty, coming up, Joe Biden's authoritarian OSHA crackdown is about to begin. We are fighting it here at Daily Wire. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Reading. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Burke's Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading.
Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
California Care Force 2021 is offering free dental, vision, and medical care for underserved and underinsured individuals and families in Butte and surrounding counties November 12th through the 14th at the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds in Chico. More than 350 volunteer healthcare professionals from throughout California will be there to assist you. All services are free, and clinic participants do not need proof of insurance, employment, income, residency, immigration status, or an ID to receive benefits.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden has pledged that he is basically going to destroy any business that does not force its workers to vaccinate. The Biden administration, never at a loss for authoritarian crackdowns, is released. They've released, as we mentioned yesterday at length, this OSHA vaccine mandate. It kicks into place on January 4th formally. There's some speculation that the reason the Biden administration is doing this is because they don't want it legally challenged. We at the Daily Wire have said we will not comply with this. We are not going to force our employees to get vaccinated. This is so anti-science, it is stupid all the way through. If you are vaccinated, you are good to go. If you are unvaccinated, you have chosen to be that way. And now, by the way, Pfizer is about to come on market with a pill that, after COVID diagnosis, lowers your rate of death and hospitalization by 90%. So if we weren't already done then, we are done now. We have been done for months, by the way. And if you're in a southern state, you know this. If you're in an uptight northern state, a northeastern state, where they're still suggesting that you can be quadruple vax and still be subject to the predations of COVID-19, even if you're not immunocompromised, then it's still going on for you. But if you're down here in Florida, it's pretty much done, and it's been done for quite a while because we're not crazy down here. Okay, well, the Biden administration is crazy. And now they are saying that every employer of more than 100 people in the United States must force their employees to vax or test weekly and wear a mask indefinitely, presumably forever. And if you refuse to do this, an unwillful violation costs you $14,000. A willful violation, if you just say, no, I'm not doing that. It's not my business whether my employees are vaxxed at this point, because everybody's had the opportunity to get vaxxed. If you say that, they will send an OSHA agent to your place of work, and then they will attempt to fine you up to $140,000 per violation. They're aiming at small business. They're attempting to bankrupt companies they don't like. And by the way, I promise you that because we are filing a lawsuit, first day that this thing goes formally into effect in January, there will be an OSHA inspector at our door. I'm sure that is the case. Again, one of the reasons that they're delaying it is because what they're hoping is that if we file a lawsuit, a court will say it's not ripe because there's been no harm yet. And there's not, the case hasn't actually, you can't adjudicate it yet because there's been no harm. We filed for a preliminary injunction against this. Many states are doing the same. Hey, we need your help with that, by the way. Head on over to dailywire.com/subscribe. Use code DONOTCOMPLY to subscribe. That does help us out, because us fighting on behalf of our employees and getting this law struck down on behalf of all Americans, this regulation that is unconstitutional and, by the way, illegal, on behalf of all Americans, that's in all of our interest. You can help us out by subscribing. We really appreciate it. We need your help with that. But the goal of the Biden administration, I don't even think it's for this thing to take effect. I think this is all bullcrap. I think that their goal here is essentially to pretend that they've done all they can do, get this thing struck down, and then move on with their lives. Sort of like their CDC eviction moratorium. You remember that Joe Biden said he didn't have the constitutional power to issue a further eviction moratorium because the Supreme Court had said he didn't. And then he did it anyway. And the reason he did it, knowing the Supreme Court was going to stay that particular order, is because he wanted to be able to say to his people, I did all I could. I did
all I could.
That's what he wanted to say. Well, I feel like this is very much the same thing. See, Joe Biden has put himself in a box. The box is, he said he could end COVID. He cannot end COVID. The only thing that Joe Biden could do is leave us alone. But he doesn't want to leave us alone because he requires COVID in order to ram through these giant spending bills in order to maintain control. And so now he's stuck between a rock and a hard place. The longer COVID goes on, the worse it is for the economy. The more these crackdowns go on, the worse it is for the economy. And as long as people are dying, COVID is not over from the perspective of Democrats. So long as infections are happening, even if they're happening because you chose not to get vaccinated, Democrats can't just say, well, you know, you made your decision and now it's on you. Instead, they have to say, no, we said we were going to fix it. And so Joe Biden is kind of stuck. What that means is he needs someone else to blame. So he's going to put this regulation out there. We're going to get it struck down. I have very little fear about that, really. And when that happens, he's going to throw up his hands and he's going to say, we did the best that we could. And by the way, it's not, they're all hypocrites anyway. They really are. I mean, the number of Democrats who are vaccinated but unmasking in public places when they've been told by the CDC not to, it's astonishing. Right? The rules don't apply to the special people. I mean, Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, was asked yesterday how many CDC employees of the CDC were vaccinated. And she said she had no idea.
What percent of CDC employees are vaccinated?
We're actively encouraging vaccination in all of our employees and doing a lot of education and outreach in order to get our agency fully vaccinated.
And the percent?
I don't have that for you today.
Yeah, of course she doesn't have that. By the way, I've noticed that the OSHA vax requirements, the federal government isn't trying to attach, for example, strings to federal aid. So if you are a person who receives food stamps or welfare via the federal government, I'm noticing that they're not forcing you to vax. Interesting how that works. Only employers. They're trying to turn employers into essentially the policemen of the state, which is a complete violation of both private property and state sovereignty. Because this is not a federal issue. This is a state issue. There's nothing in the Interstate Commerce Clause that gives OSHA the power to override the basic health powers of the states. The OSHA? Come on. There's nothing in the OSHA regulations that says that they can regulate literally until the end of time how you do your work at your business based on a virus that is not going to kill you if you are vaccinated by all statistics. Hey, and by the way, again, everyone's had the opportunity to get vaccinated. Joe Biden used to acknowledge he didn't have the power to do this. Now he just does it because he's an authoritarian. According to the Wall Street Journal, employers have until January 4th, 2020 to ensure their employees are vaccinated. After that date, employers have to verify that unvaccinated employees test negative for COVID-19 at least once a week. Employers need to show they are fully vaccinated, meaning they either receive two doses of Pfizer or Moderna or one Johnson & Johnson shot. Acceptable documents include a record of immunization from a health provider or pharmacy, a copy of a COVID-19 vaccination card, medical records, etc., etc. The agency plans to inspect some workplaces. A former OSHA official said the agency will likely not rely primarily on in-person inspections, but on company record-keeping and worker reports of potential violations. Businesses that don't comply can face fines, as we say, of up to $14,000, and that is if there is a mistake. If you are found to be unwilling, it can be up to $140,000. What will happen to unvaccinated workers who object to getting vaccinated or tested? It's possible employers would fire them. Some workers may choose to quit. About 40% of workers who are unvaccinated say they will leave their jobs rather than do this sort of stuff. And so the entire OSHA rule here is being promulgated in idiotic fashion. It is not designed to be upheld, but it's going to have some pretty significant downstream effects. This is why I don't think that it's actually ever going to be implemented. I think what's going to happen here is that it's going to be used as an excuse by big businesses to say that they have to do it. And then Biden is just going to lose his court case, and that's going to be the end of it. Because here's the problem for Democrats. If this thing actually goes into effect, it's going to absolutely cripple the economy. And it's just going to be horrible for the economy. For example, truckers are not exempted from this. Okay, truckers are not exempted from these regulations. If you lose 20% of truckers, you think you got supply chain problems right now? Just wait. The White House Deputy Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, she says, don't worry, the vax mandate isn't going to affect the supply chain. Yeah, you're just forcing people to fire their employees. That's not going to affect the supply chain at all.
If you're asking, like, if we think the rules impact supply chain, the answer is no. We don't think that it will. First of all, vaccine requirements work. We have talked about that. We've given examples. Like, earlier adopters have seen strong compliance, 99% at United Airlines, 99% at Houston Methodist, 99.5% at Rutgers University. Recently, Tyson's Food announced that 96% of its workers got vaccinated ahead of its deadline. So the emergency temporary standard is an even playing field across all employers with 100 or more workers.
Okay. One of the reasons, by the way, these percentages are so high is because when you fire everyone or force them to quit, if they're not vaccinated, your percentages go up. Amazing how that works. When somebody's no longer an employee, they don't get counted in your percentage. Governors or attorneys general from more than a dozen states have begun filing legal challenges already. This includes the Iowa governor, who vowed immediate legal action on Thursday. Christy Noem in South Dakota, she says that they're joining a lawsuit as well.
Today I'm announcing to you that we are joining several other states in filing litigation against this unconstitutional mandate. We will be taking actions to ensure that the federal government remembers that the Constitution does not give them the authority to take this type of action, and that people have freedoms and they have personal responsibility over their health, and that here in South Dakota that will be protected and defended.
Okay, now, here's the thing. This is all going to kick in January. Okay, we now have this Pfizer pill, which it's apparently just an oral pill you take after you get diagnosed, and it takes your hospitalization and death rate down 90%. It was already down 90% if you took the vaccine. So if you do that, and then you get a breakthrough, and then you take the pill, then basically you're immortal, I think, is the way that the math works there. And even if you don't take the vaccine, we now have a therapeutic that is effectively as effective as the vaccine, because the vaccines are about 90% effective against hospitalization and death. Pfizer says you can now take a pill, and that is just as effective as a vaccine in terms of preventing hospitalization and death. So what in the world are they doing here? Again, it is not about stopping the COVID pandemic. It is simply about control. It's simply about control. And the backlash is coming, man. Already coming up. The blowback against the Biden administration is very, very strong. Many Americans joining the Let's Go Brandon bandwagon. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
Not. No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Reading. K
California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the blowback against Joe Biden, his policies, his administration is very strong. Democrats know it. So honestly, the best story of election night was not even what happened in Virginia. It was the fact that a truck driver defeated the New Jersey state Senate leader. Like, that is hysterical. It was a truck driver named Ed Durr. He spent, I kid you not, about $153 on his campaign. $153 on his campaign. $66.64 of that went to Dunkin' Donuts. That's a campaign, my friends. Yeah. $153 spent on the campaign. $66 to Dunkin' Donuts. And he defeated one of the most powerful people in New Jersey, the state Senate president, Stephen Sweeney. He beat him by about 2,000 votes. And so it turns out that the reason that the guy ran for office in the first place is he was denied a concealed carry permit in a may carry jurisdiction. Right, meaning that if the government allows you, you may carry, and then who's denied a permit, which is perverse. I mean, I lived in a may carry jurisdiction in Los Angeles, and basically, unless you knew somebody, you weren't getting a concealed carry permit. So it's a ridiculous law. New Jersey has those kind of laws. He got rejected, so he ran for office. And here is what he said about what he plans to do.
Ed, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to the Capitol in Trenton?
I really don't know. That's the key factor. I don't know what I don't know, so I will learn what I need to know. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I will be the voice and people will hear me. Because if there's one thing people will learn about me, I got a big mouth and I don't shut up. When I want to be heard, I'm going to be heard.
Yeah, so honestly, I wish more of our legislators had this feeling. What's the first thing you're going to do? I have no idea because I don't know what is going to confront me when I get to this place. Like, it's not bad that regular people are part of our legislature. In fact, I think that most of the experts in our legislature suck at their jobs. Okay. So meanwhile, the Democrats, who just took a shellacking earlier this week, just a brutal shellacking. Everybody knows that leading up to 2022, their prospects are really, really poor. So what are they doing? They're doubling down on the idea that all Republicans are racist. We got this. It's sort of a microcosm of what happened right after Trump won. So right after Trump won, there was a brief moment in time where Democrats in the media were like, who are these Trump voters? Maybe we should go and talk to them. And then after about 32 seconds, they said, oh, they're a bunch of racists. We don't need to talk to them. It's about Russian racism, of course. Well, they just skipped right over that 32 seconds of self-reflection over at the White House. And then went right to, yeah, everybody's a racist. It's because the Republicans are racist. So here is Karine Jean-Pierre talking about Deputy White House Press Secretary, talking about how Republicans only won in Virginia because they lied about critical race theory. Good luck with this one.
Republicans are lying. They're not being honest. They're not being truthful about where we stand. And they're cynically trying to use our kids as a political football. They're talking about our kids when it's election season, but they won't vote for them when it matters. You know, Republicans did not vote for the American Rescue Plan. The American Rescue Plan, in that plan, it had funding to make sure that schools were open, to make sure that our kids got back to school.
This is a joke. It's ridiculous. One of my favorite things Democrats are saying right now, it's actually a headline over at the Huffington Post right now, and I want to read it verbatim because it really speaks to what Democrats believe about how politics are supposed to work. Quote, Republicans want parents to be angry. Democrats are trying to give them money. That's what Democrats think about politics, that all parents want is just to be handed money by the government. That's all they want. They don't want control over their kids' lives. They don't want control over their kids' education. They just want to sit down and shut up and be paid off. Good luck with that message. It turns out that most parents are concerned mainly with raising their children. And if there are strings attached to the cash, or we're supposed to sit by and let crappy school boards decide what our kids learn in schools about racial essentialism, the answer is no. So Democrats, instead of saying maybe we should move away from this critical race theory nonsense, instead they're doubling down. They're saying they're lying about critical race theory. It doesn't exist. It's a bugaboo. Simultaneously, they're saying it's super important and your kids have to be taught it. And you can see this conflict between, for example, Stephen Colbert and Michael Eric Dyson. So here was Stephen Colbert last night mimicking the White House, saying that CRT doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination.
Claims about what's being taught in history classes have become the latest racist dog whistle. For instance, on Monday, Youngkin made this promise.
Let me be clear, on day one, we will not have political agendas in the classroom, and I will ban critical race theory.
Here's the thing. Critical race theory is not taught at the K-12 level in Virginia. Wow, that was fast. Promises made, promises kept.
It doesn't exist. Okay, obviously this is a semantic game that people on the left like to play. So what they do is they say critical race theory, really, it doesn't exist, critical race theory. It's just that when you dumb it down and you turn it into Ibram X. Kendi racial essentialism about how privilege exists in all the institutions of American life and white kids should know that they benefit from that privilege and black kids are inherently victims, that does make it into the classroom. It makes it into the classroom all the time. So they'll simultaneously say CRT doesn't exist, and then they will say that CRT is deeply vital to teach to kids. So here's Michael Eric Dyson yesterday saying we have to make kids uncomfortable. We must make kids uncomfortable.
We got to face some uncomfortable truths, and the white comfort cannot be the predicate for making sure that race is not a strategy that shouldn't be used. Discomfort is a critical tool to make people learn.
Yeah.
When I go to class, I'm talking about my white students, my black students, my Latino students, my Asian students, across the board. I am trying to make you uncomfortable enough with the ignorance that you've inherited so that you can begin to engage in some serious thinking about the way the world works.
We have to make kids uncomfortable. Okay, what he means by that, Michael Eric Dyson, is pretty clear, because Michael Eric Dyson is a proponent of Ibram X. Kendi-style anti-racism, which is an offshoot of critical race theory. I mean, this is the same guy who's telling you that he wants to teach your kids is also saying that the brand new black lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia is actually secretly white. She's secretly white. So he wants to teach racial essentialism to your kids. That's who this is. This is the person saying that he wants to teach your kids to feel uncomfortable. What kind of stuff do you think he's teaching? Why don't we ask him? Here's Michael Eric Dyson.
The problem is here, they want white supremacy by ventriloquist effect. There is a black mouth moving, but a white idea through the running on the runway of the tongue of a figure who justifies and legitimates the white supremacist practices. We know that we can internalize in our own minds, in our own subconscious, in our own bodies, the very principles that are undoing us. So to have a black face speaking in behalf of a white supremacist legacy is nothing new.
Don't worry, they're not teaching critical race theory. They just have to make your kids uncomfortable. Also, critical race theory doesn't exist. And if you oppose it, too bad, we want to give you money. And Republicans are bad. Good job, guys. It's going to be a winning message. I can see how this is going to work out real well for you. The other winning message Democrats are pushing, of course, is what if we spend more money? Now, there are a few problems with this. Number one, Americans are not clamoring for more government spending at this point. Build Back Better is not popular. Even the bipartisan infrastructure plan, it might be sort of like, okay, but it's not blowing the doors off. Nobody's clamoring for the bipartisan infrastructure plan to pass at this point. CNN did a report. But the disconnect is that if you complain about inflation, then this means that you are out of touch with the people. So this is kind of an incredible story. So yesterday, Brianna Keeler over at CNN, she did a report about a family. Okay, this family is a family of 11. They have 9 kids. They're feeding 9 kids. 7 of those kids are adopted or fostered. Okay, so honestly, these people sound like saints. I mean, to adopt or foster 7 kids and you have 2 of your own, pretty incredible behavior. Okay, so Brianna Keeler does a report on them, and she talks about how inflation is really taking a chunk out of their pocketbook. Here's what the report said.
We have 2 biological kids, and then my wife and I have a big heart for adoption, so we adopted a sibling group of 2, then 3, then 1, and then we have a kid living with us right now who's kind of in a foster situation.
It feels like money isn't going as far as it used to.
Okay, let's see what we can do. I think probably in June, it was about $1 worth a dollar. So now that dollar is worth about 70 cents. All right, now we're moving on to dairy, which is right there. We started seeing everything going up. Grocery prices went up. Gallon of milk was $1.99. Now it's $2.79. Well, when you buy 12 gallons a week times 4 weeks, you know, that's a lot of money.
Okay, and what did this prompt? Did this prompt anybody on the left side of the aisle, the blue checks on Twitter, to say, actually, that sounds pretty damaging, right? I mean, she's right. No, instead, you got Jamel Bowie, a man who's in touch with the people. He tweeted out, I'm sorry, 12 gallons of milk? Well, yes, I mean, there are 11 people in the house, including 9 kids, many of whom apparently are teenagers. He says, like, if every member of a family of six had 1 8-ounce glass of milk for every meal on every day of the week, you'd still only need about 8 gallons of milk a week. They have 12 people in the house. He says, fair enough. Even then, this is an exceptional family. Not sure they should be used as emblematic. Well done there, Jamel Belief. Just massive self-own right there. And Jonathan Chait does the same thing. Blue check. 12 gallons of milk a week may sound like a lot, but they've actually had to cut out their milk baths on alternate days. They're not taking milk baths. I love this. So just sneer at people who are hurting at the checkout counter. Just sneer at them. Because who needs 12 gallons of milk a week? Now, again, basic math suggests they need 12 gallons of milk a week, right? I have three kids. We certainly go through at least 3 gallons of milk a week, and these are little kids. Okay, so the notion that a bunch of teenagers, like a family of 11, they're not going to go through 12 gallons of milk a week is crazy. But then you got the whole blue check marks going, milk doesn't even cost $1.99 anywhere. Okay, well, in certain parts of the country, it used to. Like, it did. But they are all George. Remember they said in 1992 that George H.W. Bush didn't know how to use one of those checkout guns at the checkout counter, and they mocked him for it. He didn't know how they worked, and it really wasn't true. These people are that. They actually are that. They don't. They're all the old lady from Arrested Development. What does a banana cost? Like $7? Like that's what they are. And then they're telling you how they're going to fix the economy. Yeah, good luck with this, guys. I mean, this is what you really want to run, but apparently they do. Our elites are just morons. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Prosecutors and defense attorneys presented dueling portraits of Ahmaud Arbery as the trial begins for three white men.
In her opening statement, prosecutor Linda Donikowski said a series of assumptions and driveway decisions triggered the attack on the 25-year-old black man.
This is the emergency, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out here in Satilla Shores, and there's a black male running down the street.
Defense attorney Robert Rubin said Travis McMichael and his father, Greg, considered Arbery a scary mystery who had been videotaped inside a nearby house that was under construction where things had gone missing.
It's not some random guy running down the street. It's the guy.
Rubin said the McMichaels gave chase, hoping to detain him until police arrived. But Arbery refused to stop and lunged toward McMichael and his gun.
Travis McMichael is acting in self-defense.
The McMichaels and a neighbor, William Bryan, who joined the chase, are all charged with murder and other felonies. Trial audio courtesy of Court TV. I'm Jennifer King.
House Democrats are moving forward Friday with a plan to vote separately on passage of the bipartisan Senate-passed infrastructure bill and adoption of a procedural rule for a sweeping social spending package. Details from Bernie Bennett.
Passage of the Democratic-backed Human Infrastructure and Climate Change bill would come later after compromise with a half a dozen moderates. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says the bill is rushed.
And all today, they want to rush through a bill that will cost $4 trillion and bring more harm and damage to the problems they've already created.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats worked hard on the bills with few dissensions.
Over 90% of the bill was built House, Senate, White House. So if there are a couple things at the end that are different, we'll deal with those.
Bernie Bennett in Washington.
Democratic leaders in Virginia conceded Friday that Republicans have won control of the House of Delegates. On Wall Street, the Dow by 203 points. This is townhall.com.
Do you know how much you're really paying for life insurance through work? I can almost guarantee you're overpaying for limited coverage. I'm Joel Clark, a SelectQuote agent for over 20 years. My clients are shocked to learn how expensive life insurance at work really is because of a rate that's driven up by unhealthy people. Why pay more when you don't have to? For over 35 years, SelectQuote has helped people save 50% or more by shopping highly rated insurance carriers. I even found a 40-year-old man with high blood pressure, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month. Don't wait. Workplace open enrollment is here. Let SelectQuote save you money and get you the coverage you need to protect your family.
For your free quote in just minutes, call 1-800-659-8080. That's 1-800-659-8080. 1-800-659-8080. Or go to SelectQuote.com.
Full details on example policy and carrier ratings at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Price could vary by health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hearings are set for two Iowa students charged in a teacher's death. Correspondent Mike Rossia reports.
Court hearings are set for next week for two Iowa 16-year-olds charged with murder in the death of a high school Spanish teacher. Investigators say 66-year-old Nohima Graber was reported missing Tuesday. Her remains were found at a park later that day. Court filings stated Graber suffered inflicted trauma to the head and her body had been concealed. Willard Noble Chaden Miller and Jeremy Everett Goodale were charged as adults with first-degree murder as well as conspiracy to commit a forcible felony. According to court documents, police received a tip that Goodale posted details on social media about planning a killing and a possible motive. Documents also said Miller admitted to being at the park and helping conceal Graber's death. I'm Mike Gracia.
News and analysis always available at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Iran's atomic agency says its stockpile of 20% enriched uranium has reached over 463 pounds.
It's been known for some months that Iran has been producing uranium enriched to 60%. A report to that effect by the UN nuclear watchdog back in April was subsequently confirmed by Tehran, which in June said it had produced 6.5 kilograms of the material so far. The latest information suggests that it's now produced four times that amount. The concern over the enrichment program is that it brings Iran ever closer to the 90% uranium enrichment, which is considered to be weapons grade.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. A prosecutor investing accusations that former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo groped a woman has asked a judge for more time, saying the criminal complaint filed last week by the local sheriff was potentially defective. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Premier, your friendly old change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke can tax, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-ups. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Good to see you, Senator. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
How are you? Anna, thank you guys. And my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
She, her, and hers. Mine too.
All right.
Oh, yes, mine too. Just go along with everything, you sheep. Happy Friday, people. It's Michael Pelka once more. Chris is almost back, but I'll be here today. And once again, we'll have some fun. We'll cover the news. There is a boatload of news this morning, including the fact that we were told last night there was going to be a vote in the House for the BIF. I get so mad when Nancy Pelosi refers to this bill as the BIF. It's the BIF. I don't want to hear you say BIF anymore, but she'll keep saying it. She says they're having a vote for the BIF. Nancy Pelosi, I'm very upset about this vote that's coming down. Both bills are allegedly going to be voted on in the House today. And if Pelosi has the votes, which she must have or she wouldn't call for it, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, also known to the cool kids as the BIF, is going to be rushed over to Joe Biden's desk, and they will wake him up from his afternoon nap and ask him to put his thumbprint on it. So the bipartisan infrastructure bill, which is probably the only acceptable bill, even though I don't want any of that passed, The only acceptable one. Now, the other bill, that's still got Joe Manchin saying, no, 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 no. He's wagging his finger like Manute Bol. No, that's not happening. Not on my watch. We will see. But last night, Pelosi got me. She got me, and we're going to have to talk more about her. This was Pelosi last night being quizzed about what was happening because they had to actually work late. Most of us know what it's like to work late or to work early, but they had to work late last night. She was irritated.
Do you expect to vote tonight? And is it possible that you might just vote on the infrastructure bill, considering everybody seems to be bought in and saying it's ready for a vote?
No.
What are the big hurdles you have to overcome?
I'll let you know as soon as I wish to.
Oh, I'll let you know as soon as I wish to. How kind of you. We hired you, but you treat us like servants, like subjects.
I'll let you know as soon as I wish to.
As soon as I wish to. This bill being shoved through with so much push by the Democrats because they're panicked. They're panicked that they are going to be summarily dismissed a year from now when the midterm elections happen. So we'll get to that because there's more Pelosi audio, more Pelosi goodness. There's also the discussion we have to have about OSHA handing us 500 pages of vaccine mandate rules that won't go into effect until January because the Democrats are actually trying to save Christmas, which would save their own butts for next year in the midterms, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So we'll talk about the vaccine mandates and where you might stand on that. I'm not a mandate guy. I'm vaccinated by choice. I am vehemently opposed to mandates. And like I said, I'd like to hear from any and all of you at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. There is other news happening today as well. If you were bouncing around the financial channels this morning, at 8:30, the job numbers were released. We had the new jobs created and the jobless rate. Now, the jobless rate has slipped to 4.6%, the lowest since the beginning of the pandemic. That's good. But we also have to look at how many people left the job market, the job participation rate. We'll look at that. But they expected 450,000 jobs to be created this month, 450,000. They actually beat that number. 531,000 jobs was the number that was reported today. I think that's always a good thing when we've got people going back to work. And I think a lot of that has to do with the common sense that the Republicans put out there saying, hey, let's stop giving people free stuff. Let's stop the plus-ups, handing people all of this money not to work. And I think people went, you know, I better get back to work. I better be doing something here. So I think that had a lot to do with it, as well as we're starting to see green shoots of a return to normalcy, which will also be helped by the announcement today. Yesterday, we got an announcement from Merck that the UK had approved a Merck pill to fight COVID if you got COVID. Now, today, Pfizer announced they have an experimental pill that they believe reduces your chance of being hospitalized if you get the COVID-1984 virus by almost 90%. Now, this is out of Pfizer. This is not out of a independent review. Not from the CDC, not from the FDA, it's from the company. It's elevating the markets. The combination of the jobs report and the Pfizer announcement, and I don't know why Pfizer would say that unless they were pretty confident in it, but this pill, another therapeutic developed by Pfizer, may be the key. On CNBC this morning, one of the analysts referred to this as the pandemic killer. And with that, your brain starts wandering, saying, okay, what does that mean? That means the pandemic may be over. That means travel. That means restaurants. That means theme parks, movie theaters, everything, grocery stores, any place that has these intrusive mask mandates can just now take a break. Now we have to get verification of all this, of course. And I've reached out to a buddy at the Cleveland Clinic to see if he knows anything. If we can get him here, we will. We'll talk about it. We will dive into that. So if the Pfizer news is real, if their report is as solid, if, you know, put through independent testing, that's a great thing. Now, the mandate that the Biden administration is putting out that goes into effect in January, small business is going to be forced to have everyone vaccinated or they will be segregated. It's that part of it is awful. It's insane. It's crazy and I can't support it in any way, shape or form. It's also going to be challenged on every level, every single level. And it is crazy what they're trying to do. 500 pages. This is a Democrat workaround to force through their policies to make people submit. Not a fan, not happy about this. $14,000 was one of the numbers I read per employee who violates the vaccine mandate and won't submit to wearing a mask. So if you don't want to be vaccinated, if you have either a religious exception, if you have a comorbidity that you're worried you don't want to have this vaccine because you're immunocompromised, you're going to be forced to wear a mask at work. So everybody else at work will know who's unvaccinated. And you're going to have to eat in a different lunchroom. I thought we ended that whole segregation thing a long time ago. I thought we got past that. Apparently not. So we'll talk about the mandate. And if you have a thought on that, you're welcome. There is also news in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial. Kyle Rittenhouse was the young man who shot and killed one of the rioters in Wisconsin, and the media immediately jumped on him and demonized him. And now we're finding out it looks like maybe, and there's some pretty credible sources on this, including a Daily Caller reporter who testified at the trial yesterday. Maybe that Mr. Rittenhouse was the guy who was under attack, and this is self-defense. And this is going to be a big stinking deal. So we'll talk about that. There was also some news yesterday. We didn't get to it yesterday, that there were tapes of the entire incident, recordings that had been either hidden or lost, and I'm making the air quotes with my fingers, or suppressed for some reason or another, that the FBI didn't allow those to be known to the defense. And the judge was pretty harsh yesterday. He had some harsh words for the mainstream media and how they reported this as well. What a surprise, especially after the way the mainstream media reported the Nick Sandman story. Yeah, they're just following the playbook. That's the way things go. So, as I said, we've got so many stories, so many places to go today, and there's some other things. There's some insane racism being pushed by MSNBC and The View. It's a battle between MSNBC and The View as to how much time they can give to Eric Michael Dyson to spread racism on their airwaves. So we'll get into that. And like I said, we have some wokeness going on. There's serious wokeness at Microsoft. Maybe the most ridiculous clip of the week. It might just win the title of the most ridiculous clip of the week. And this weekend is daylight saving time. I don't care either way. My body adjusts to it. You know, the clocks pretty much reset themselves now. We don't have to go through the clock thing anymore. Our devices are so smart, they figure it out. But there are people who are actually saying that, well, we should make this permanent. But if you have a thought on that, you're welcome to join the conversation, too. Grant is our first caller of the day as we kick off the Chris Plant Show with Michael Pelka sitting in again. Grant in Arlington, Virginia, welcome to the Chris Plant Show. How are you?
Just fine. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm happy to be back and wishing Chris well. He should be back Monday. I think he's almost there. And you have an interesting thought about this this mandate situation, right?
Correct. No employer should be asking for religious affiliation, moral objection, and maintaining that information in any manner whatsoever, whether it's in a list or on individual paper records. It's no different than the discrimination that we used to have when processing rental or loan applications or employment applications against minorities or women. And even though they may not use the information now to necessarily discriminate against you, who's to say in the future they would not use that, depending upon who's reviewing applications, you know, denying promotions or even raises or things along that line.
You know, that's an interesting angle, and I also believe, and correct me if you think I'm wrong here, I also believe that this is all part of that nudge to move more people away from religion. And I think the idea of the far left is to put government in place of religion. It goes back to, you know, religion is the opiate of the masses, if we want to go back. I think it was Marx. But the attempt to remove God from America and from Americans has been relentless by these people. They are constantly going after faith. And, you know, they're contradicting in every way. Joe Biden, and just the fact that he calls himself a devout Catholic, and Nancy Pelosi calls herself a devout Catholic, and they are both for the killing of babies in the womb. It just shows you they speak from both sides of their mouths. But I agree with you. No reason why an employer should know what your faith is. Now, if you're open about it, if you wear your faith on your sleeve or around your neck, that's your choice. That's your choice as an American, but it shouldn't be anything that is either used positively or negatively in your workplace. Great starter today, Grant. Appreciate you being there. Michael Pelka in once again for Chris Plant. The phones look like they are lighting up. And we're going to talk about just about everything today. 888-630-9625. Opelka in for Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher than it is right now. Dollar losing value, and let's not forget about inflation. The highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008? So how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you and me, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. Real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group. The kind you can actually hold in your hand or have in your IRA. There's no time better than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-707-GOLD. They'll send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-707-GOLD. Oxford is here to protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-707-GOLD.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget. Guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Trying them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
Attention Americans 65 and older. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 has begun. This is the only time to change your Medicare Advantage plan for a whole year. And SmartMatch Insurance is here to help. Do you currently have a copay? What about a high deductible? Do you pay extra for dental and vision? Are your out-of-pocket expenses just too high? If you answered yes to any of these, you should call SmartMatch. SmartMatch is like having a personal Medicare consultant who can help you find plans which include $0 copays, $0 deductibles, even $0 premiums, plus dental and vision coverage for no additional cost. Having the wrong Medicare plan can cost you thousands. SmartMatch makes it easy to find the right one with their free, smart, and unbiased help. If you find a plan you like, they can even enroll you on the spot. The Medicare annual enrollment period for 2022 ends soon. The service is free with no obligation, so call SmartMatch today. Call 800-991-2534. That's 800-991-2534. 800-991-2534.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
Dinovite.com.
It is a Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Michael Pelka stepping in once more to take care of things. Chris should be back on Monday. Seems like he's feeling better. Happy to be here. Thrilled to be here. And your calls are already lighting up the call screen. We have so much to get to today with the jobs report, the vaccine mandate, the call for a vote in the House for the BIF, and the other thing that Nancy Pelosi's trying to shove down our throats, and the Microsoft wokeness, and the Rittenhouse story, and an update on what happened with Igor, the guy they arrested in the Durham investigation. So many things going on. So we will try and get to all of it, and especially your calls at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Leesburg and check in with Michael. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mike. So I'm an unvaccinated truck driver, and I intend to remain unvaccinated, even if it costs me my job, because my body, my choice in both abortion and vaccination.
So you're an unvaccinated truck driver. Thank you for being part of the front lines for the last almost 2 years now and making sure everybody had stuff and could eat stuff and all that. And I'm pleased that you are standing by your own decisions to do whatever you think is right for your body. But you also said something interesting there. You said when it comes to vaccines and abortion, are you saying you're pro-choice?
Yes, I'm pro-choice in both. I'm pro-liberty and pro-constitution.
Okay. So you don't identify a fetus as a different a different human being, even though it has different DNA and a beating heart and a brain that's working and stuff like that.
It does, but no person has the right to another person's body, nor does the government own our bodies to tell us what we can and can't do with it, or force us to carry an unwanted fetus against our will. It's called liberty.
Interesting perspective. I just happen to disagree with you. I happen to think we decide personhood based on DNA, and different DNA exists. And I just think it's convenient. But that's a discussion for another day. I respect your right to remain unvaccinated. We'll disagree on the question of life. But that's one to consider. Maybe we'll have a discussion another day on when does life begin? Because that's the question I've asked all my pro-choice friends. And the answers are as varied as the people I've talked to. Thank you, Michael. Another Mike on the phones in Southern Maryland. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm good, sir. What's up?
I was just calling about this whole vaccine mandate and how they're going about it. They shouldn't be able to make you, force you, should I say, to get a vaccine, because at the end of the day, they're making it to where you're not going to be able to eat because they're making these employers enforce it. And if you don't get it, you risk to lose your job.
Yeah, and where does it end? Really, where does the government's ability to step into your life end? You know, this is, and the way they've gone about it, you mentioned that, the way they've gone about it is really disturbing to me. To go through OSHA, and the rules are different, too. We'll get into that. So much more coming up today. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute. Sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy holidays.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is RC with today's Cigar of the Month. Present with us is the Partagas Cortado. Wrapped in an elegant Ecuadorian Connecticut seed leaf, the bold 8-inch long Presidente is a soft smoke. Perfect with coffee after breakfast, the Partagas Cortado reaches sublime notes of creamy, spicy, and mineral-rich deliciousness. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, 2143 Hilltop, Redding, California.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
It is the Chris Plant Show on a Friday. One more day, sans Chris Plant. He should be back Monday. Mike Opelka is my name. I've been here before. Heck, I was here yesterday, and I'll be back sometime in the future if Chris needs me, and if they ask, and happy to be here. Love this audience. A few of you reached out yesterday, tracked me down on Facebook. I appreciate it. I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so if you find me, we can connect. I don't necessarily appreciate social media the way so many of my nieces and nephews do, but it is necessary. It's a necessary evil today. I'm not afraid to call it evil. We opened up by talking about the buffet of topics available today. And the one that seems to be getting the most attention, because it's going to get a lot of attention legally, is Joe Biden releasing the 500 pages. He released it through OSHA, of this vaccine mandate that will not become mandatory until after the first of the year. And it carries substantial penalties for companies and individuals who do not follow the mandate and don't get vaccinated or don't live up to the testing required. It is particularly onerous, and it is nudge, 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 shove at this point. And I am all for people being able to make choices about vaccines. I'm vaccinated. Triple. I didn't collect them all. I got the Pfizer trilogy. But I'm comfortable with that. And I think people should be able to make their own choices. And so many of you are lighting up the phones today, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. David is in Southern Maryland. Hello, David. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
I'm fully vaccinated, getting ready to get my booster. I fly for a living, so I'm around a lot of people. That was my choice. Totally support people who don't want to get vaccinated for whatever reason. That's their personal choice. And I served in the military, so people can have their right to their own freedoms and liberties and things like that. The one thing I do say is if they do want to mandate the vaccine, they should start mandating people crossing the border illegally and not letting them in. Mandate, you know, if you want to mandate that, send everybody back under a mandate to the countries of their origin and we'll start from clean scratch. And I think a lot of people would say, okay, well, maybe we'll do that. But if you don't play fair by the rules across the board, nobody's going to sit there and play. So,
yeah, it does seem like it's selective enforcement of our laws, especially when you have this mandate that we're going to be told has to be followed. And yet we have laws and borders. And the story yesterday, I don't want to give this guy any publicity for his name, but we had a Honduran man who crossed our border illegally, 23 years old when he crossed the border, pretended to be a minor. He said he was an unaccompanied minor, so we welcomed him in. And we took him to Florida, and he was welcomed into the home of a Florida family, a guy that has four kids, and he's now been charged with murder. He horrifically killed the man who welcomed him into his home because he was here on false pretenses, lying about his status, saying he was a child and needed to be rescued. If we don't catch on, we are done. But this case of an illegal alien entering the country, pretending to be an unaccompanied minor, welcomed in, and now killing the man who took him into his home, it's heartbreaking. And I'm sure it's not the only incident. We've had 2 million people in this situation. How many of them claimed to be unaccompanied minors when they were not? In fact, they were adults. He's 24 years old now. He's in Florida. He'll get the full treatment in Florida, I hope. But yeah, I appreciate your service, number one, to the country, and your service to private industry now as a pilot. Thank you, David. I'm with you on this. It's people's choice. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. Now, this next one, I'm going to just throw a dart here on the pronunciation, because on the call screen it says Nabinsing, and I'm just going to say this might be Nabinsing. I'm going to take a guess. Someone's on the phone from Bowie, Maryland. Hello, is it Nabinsing? Is it Nabinsing? Am I butchering
it's
the whole...
Nabinsing. N-A-B-I-N.
Yeah, Nabinsing. Hello, Nabinsing. Welcome.
Good morning. I just wanted to know, like, about the 500-page vaccine mandate. Well, the extension on the current one, pretty much. And how that will affect universities and whatnot, because the current university I'm going to, not going to name it for any particular reason, but right now, like, they have not strict protocols, but whenever you have to enter the parking lot or any parking lot on campus, you have to, like, show them your badge, your COVID badge on your phone.
Hmm.
And essentially, it includes all your updated vaccine information and your daily survey you have to fill out in order for your badge to be green, in order for you to proceed. And while I don't mind their surveillance, at the same time, like, if you do not comply with an updated badge, then the professors simply have a choice as to whether or not they can continue to teach online.
Wait one second. Are you saying that even if you're choosing not to be vaccinated, that you won't be allowed to attend online remote classes?
No, they just cut off entirely after September 30th. They dropped.
That doesn't make any sense, that they would exclude you from online learning if you chose not to be vaccinated. You're not putting yourself in front of anyone.
Well, no, it's not that necessarily. It's more so that they cut off the online learning, like, along with in-person classes. And on top of that, like, if you test positive, then it's up to the professor to choose whether or not they want to continue teaching online. And quite frankly, a few of my professors so far have chosen not to teach online to accommodate those students who have tested positive, because you do have to take a monthly test for
so this semester. This is, again, another nudge. Denying you the right to an online education, which puts
when you paid for a semester.
That you paid for, yeah.
For tuition.
Have you reached out to anybody like Campus Reform, who does great work on what's going on college campuses? It might be worth your time taking some time to reach out to them and just say, hey, what the heck is this? Especially if you've paid. Who cares if you were taking classes from the moon? It doesn't make – this makes no sense. This is completely authoritarian. This is completely arbitrary. It is just dictatorial in every sense of the word. So I'm sorry you're going through this. But I would – yeah, I know you don't want to put the name out there of the school, but perhaps this is part of yet another story that's developing through Campus Reform or one of those places that exposes this kind of hypocrisy and this kind of lunacy and this kind of mandates of behavior. And why should they know everything about your health anyway? What's next? They're going to check and see if your height and weight are proportionate. And if you're not deemed to be within the proper parameters, you're not going to be allowed to learn, because we only want to educate people that we think are healthy enough. This is crazy. Really irritating. Now I have to ask you before you go, tell me where your name is from, and does it mean anything?
My parents are from Guyana, and they're West Indian. My name is Indian and Hindu. It's in Hindi, and it's Hindi for new beginning.
Great. That's very cool. It's a great name to have. Nabin Singh, right? I got it right, Nabin Singh?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
excellent.
Usually I prefer Nabin Singh, but anything goes.
Nabin Singh. I want to get what you want. Nabin Singh. Thank you, Nabin Singh. You're welcome here anytime, and keep fighting the good fight. Your liberty is guaranteed in this country, or at least it was until January of last year. I'm not sure about of this year. I'm not sure about going forward. Have a great rest of your weekend, sir. Rob in Springfield, Maryland is on the phone. And Rob, you have a story about vaccines?
Yes. My wife had to get the vaccine for work. Mm-hmm. She was forced to last year when it came out, and had nothing but side effects. I mean, she'd been to the doctor numerous times with headaches and nerve issues in her head, and thought everything was fine. She ended up catching COVID. She brought it home. She came down with the symptoms first, and she's in a house with three, you know, me and two sons, and we were not vaccinated, and she gave it to us. We had symptoms for 3 days to 5 days. She had symptoms for two full weeks before she could get back enough to work. But anyway, just a little story about how the vaccines work and how not being vaccinated and being healthy is better. But
well, you know, we've completely avoided natural immunity here. And I suspect, and I hope your wife is on the road to being 100% fully recovered, because that's the key. But since she got COVID, anyone who gets COVID reportedly has incredible immunity. And we are completely denying it for whatever reason. Makes no sense to me. Natural immunity should be part and parcel of the whole thing. And if we're going to force this vaccine on people through a mandate and not allow them to make a choice, I also think we should have the ability and the choice to test and see if people have antibodies. Because if you have antibodies, shouldn't that be the same? Just a thought. That's my personal opinion. But we're going to watch this, because it's going to go through the courts. And it's going to go through the courts because so many brave governors are going to stand up, so many attorneys general. Yesterday, Joe Biden got a response to this vaccine mandate from Governor DeSantis, who said the following.
We started with 15 days to slow the spread, and now it's gone to get jabbed or lose your job. And this is 500 pages of a government of a bureaucracy, a government that is being run by executive edict not in accordance with the typical constitutional processes, and the state of Florida is going to respond, and we will combat the OSHA rule.
So Florida's going to be there, and you can bet Texas and several other red states are lining up as well. This mandate is going to get a reaction, and I just don't like the way it's come down. Again, vaccinated by choice. It was my choice to take the protection. I knew the risks, and I also knew the rewards. And so far, thank God, I've been COVID-free. Again, we're still America, at least the last time I checked. So many things to get to today. You're welcome to join the conversation. We have to talk about the jobs report. We have to talk about the response that Peter Ducey got yesterday in the press room when he pressed on the garbage report that Joe Biden called the story from the Wall Street Journal on paying people here illegally who were separated. Remember, Biden called it garbage. Ducey asked the question of the pinch-hitting press secretary, because Jen Psaki's still recovering from COVID. And you won't believe the answer. You absolutely won't believe the answer. You're still welcome to join us, though, at 888-630-9625. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier uses proven Oxy technology that quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold, and much more. With over 140,000 already sold, you know it works. Any smell will vanish after just a few seconds with the thunderstorm being on. The powerful thunderstorm sends out O3 molecules that seek out and destroy odors. These molecules even go behind and under furniture. Best of all, no filters to buy over and over again. Saves you money. Start enjoying your home again and get several thunderstorms. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You get 3 units for under $200. Put one in your basement, bedroom, family room, kitchen, or anywhere you need clean, fresh air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in the discount code CHRIS3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code CHRIS3. Shipping is free.
Today on Hey Culligan, Smart Home, Smarter Water Softener. Here's Kevin.
Hey Culligan, can a smart water softener lift those heavy salt bags for me?
Kevin, it can.
Wait, it can?
Yep, the smart, high-efficiency water softener from Culligan can alert your dealer when the salt needs to be replaced, and they'll do it for you, so your water stays soft, and you stay away from lifting the bags.
I mean, I could lift them if I wanted.
No judgment here, Kevin. We're happy to do it, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
When others treat your fries as an afterthought, all you're left with are cold, soggy fries. That's why Wendy's new fries are ones you won't forget. Guaranteed to be hot and crispy, or we'll replace them. We're talking natural cut, skin-on fries, perfectly seasoned with a hint of sea salt. In fact, they're even preferred almost 2-to-1 over McDonald's. These are fries so hot and crispy, they beg a new question.
What would you like with your fries?
Try them today, only at Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, taste preference based on a national taste test by an independent research company.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, if you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, the FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug ranitidine may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent MDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, dial #250 on your mobile device now and say the keyword payment. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Dial #250 now and speak the keyword payment for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation. Just dial #250 now and speak the keyword payment. That's #250 and speak the keyword payment.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think now, especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue, and Dynabite has helped tremendously in our house with that.
I just heard the Dynabite commercial so many times, so I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
The Dynabite, the being at home, working with them, they all love it.
Me and Chewy are together 24/7.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
DinoVite.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
So the dream was to build your very own law practice, be your own boss, call all the shots. But have things like billing, HR, timekeeping, and all the other management stuff turned your dream into a nightmare? Take charge of your practice with Lexicon. We're the intersection of practice management software and legal support services for your firm. You'll get more billable and livable hours back. Lexicon marks the spot for all your practice management needs. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection to get the whole story or schedule a demo.
I like it. I like it. We're kind of bringing the funk back for Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant today. Yeah, let's keep the funk. We like the funk. We are trying to get to so many things. The jobs report came out just over an hour ago. Expected 450,000. We got 531,000. The jobless rate dipped down to 4.6%, and the markets are responding well. And it's good that people are going back to work. We need people working. We need people working to get America back and get America in charge again. Because when the people have money in their pockets, they tend not to bow down as easily to the government. When you've got your financial security, you can fight for your freedom. And I think that's a lot of what the Democrats were counting on, was the weak economy. And, you know, Joe Biden's going to speak shortly from the White House on the jobs report. And A's going to take credit for it, that his Build Back Better program is making this happen when it hasn't been voted on yet. They're going to vote on something today in the House, a couple of bills, Nancy Pelosi is telling us, probably closer to noon. But Biden will take credit saying my Build Back Better program is doing this. No, no, your Build Back Better program has not been passed, sir. But people going back to work out of desperation in some cases, but in others because they want to work, they want to achieve. We're a country built on the dreams that there is a minimum wage, but there's no maximum wage. That you can be as big and as great and as powerful and as rich as you want. And that scares the Democrats because they want everybody marching in the same line. So I'm happy about this jobs report, and I hope it sparks travel, and I hope it sparks entertainment, and I hope it sparks a return to restaurants. We'll see. The vaccination rule might cause a problem. January 4th, you'll get the vaccination rules being applied, and a lot of you are saying we're not happy about it. We are going to get to that. There's a curious call on here. I'm looking at the call screen page here. 888-630-9625. Becky is in Northern Virginia. Hello, Becky. Welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to mention, nobody mentions that this is against the Nuremberg Code.
Well,
and there is a sentence in the Nuremberg Code: the principles established by this code for medical practice now have been extended into general codes and medical ethics. So I'm taking that to mean that it's general medical. And also, the only one that was approved was the Comirnaty. And I understand that's not available in the United States, so it wasn't the ones that they say were approved in the U.S.
So, and I hate to pronounce my ignorance on the radio, but I'm ignorant of the Nuremberg Code. And when was it established, and do we as a nation recognize it?
Yes, I think it was worldwide. It was after World War II, all the atrocities in the Nazi death camps, the Mengele experiments, etc.
Sure.
They had a meeting in Nuremberg, and in 1947 they came up with a code of ethics called the Nuremberg Code, and it was permissible medical experiments. But it has been extended. It basically says this code recognizes that risk must be weighed against the expected benefit and that unnecessary pain and suffering must be avoided, and that that it should be informed, you must have informed consent, and that this should not be done against your will. Now, it talks about experiments, but as I said in the last paragraph, the principles established by this code for medical practice now have been extended into general codes and medical ethics. And you can also Google the Nuremberg Code. It was put together in 1947.
I will do that. I'm curious about this, and I want to see how many of the states that are suing the federal government are going to use this, and I'll see if that's going to be involved in any of the cases that are going to be brought up. And I also will, I'm anticipating, because what we're taught by our lawyer friends who are prosecutors is to try and argue it from both sides, always trying to argue it from both sides. And I'm sure, pretty sure the federal government's going to say, well, the 2021 FDA will trump the 1947 Nuremberg Code. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But thank you for opening up this door. Now I have something to read this weekend. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.